just gonna wing it. Welcome to another episode of If Lance Could Kill, I'm Knife City.
Stone Crow.
This is Hot Sauce.
And this is episode something something of this podcast.
119, I think.
Something along those lines. Something. So, we are casting on a Saturday morning, a little late in the day. I have to be to work. So, we're going to keep the intros a little short, so they're only going to be a half hour each. And then we'll talk about magic for about twice the amount of time we usually do, so that's about 10 minutes. And then we'll wrap it up with
a banjo solo.
Maybe some,
from yours truly.
Some cheek-to-cheek lip-syncing from one of our favorite songs. So, Mr. Hot Sauce, why don't you steer this pirate ship, this gala.
This vessel.
Ooh, wow. So, I mean, my solo intro is going to be really fucking short. I've had a rough morning. Don't worry about me.
He chopped a gun.
I'm hungover from not drinking last night. My body's in shock from like a day without alcohol. Yeah, this is fucking
weird.
There's no alcohol there.
It's all ages show.
I'm so glad I wasn't able to go now.
All right.
I'm so fucking
pissed.
There's a liquor store right around the corner.
Well, I would have made it work.
Dr. Knife City Alchemist PhD had a show last night that was very sobering. So I'm hungover from the show of all the soberness. And like a good night's sleep is awful. I hated it. So... anyways, news in my wheelhouse is I got fucking laid off, fired. So here's what gets good.
I just picture CBC laughing
ass
off so much.
I knew I was talking to the boys about it, and it was like a thing where sounds really stupid, but the company hired me and another guy as journeyman electricians because they needed to, but they didn't actually have any intentions of keeping us. Once the job was like at a certain point, I thought it'd be the job be over. Job's not even fucking over, not even close to over. And they just had a meeting without my boss there, who knows about the job. And the owner of the company was basically like, "Well, we're putting too many hours. We're putting too like much money for the hours that we have been putting, you know, like on the job. So like basically." People there are making too much money. We need to like cut back people that make a lot of money so that like we have people there that make little money. And so they cut everybody except for my boss, the cheapest apprentice electrician, and the cheapest what they call a a fucking, I don't know, it's a technician. It's like a electrician that can only work outside. It's like he only does like a couple
street
jobs.
Light tech,
street
light tech.
Street light tech. There you go. So now there's like fucking, they gave the apprentice, my apprentice, our buddy Kevin, they gave him a truck. Not my truck, but the other journeyman's truck. They gave him that truck.
Wow.
My truck that I had went back to my boss.
What apprentice is he?
He's a second year apprentice.
He's got no fucking idea.
He's been an electrician for like 18 months, literally. And
the first 12 of that was in a ditch.
I know.
So you didn't do anything.
Exactly. So luckily, I mean, like, I'm against it. I don't think that's like correct way to do things. But at least the guy he's been a carpenter for like 12 years. So thank God the guy knows, like, which is kind of like all that matters a lot of times when you're doing like construction in general. Like electrical is not like I'm doing like wiring and switches and lights all day long. Like it's a lot of construction, a lot of like cutting metal, cutting wood, building structures. Like if something needs to go somewhere, I usually don't like have to ask another contractor or whatever to like do it for me. I usually just do it. So like that's... construction's like a weird, confusing business. If you're not in it, then you don't quite know what people do, which I totally had no idea what being an electrician was before I was in it. I thought it was going to be like the easy shit. And then like right away, week one, I'm not even doing anything that requires a brain. It's just like the hard stuff. And I'm like, oh, so like this is literally what it takes to get to the good stuff. You just have to spend like 75% of the job doing all like the crappy regular construction shit, and then you get onto the shit that you think you do in electrical. I'm like, okay, very good, very good. So anyways, at least he has that going for him. But the other guy is like brand fucking new. The streetlight tech is like brand new. So they're, I don't know how the fuck they're gonna finish that job. So I found out after we all got fired that the boss then finds out where the status of the job really is, and now he's like mad at himself and mad at my boss for like basically like firing everybody. Because the job's not, like, it requires still the attention of like a qualified person.
Right.
And so now everyone's fucking like in a pissing contest and it's like a big old deal, I guess. So yeah, dumb shit. I'm sad because of this, I was off for so long and I was only hired for 4 months, which is like the shortest amount of time I've ever had a fucking job. Then I now have to leave San Diego, tear dropping down from my face, and go work in another city.
We're secretly happy.
To make some fucking money. Because, like, there's not enough work here right now, and I don't want to work under the table. I have, like, an opportunity to work, like, you know, allegedly under the table and fucking make cash, but that's just not good for, like, taxes, IRS stuff. Like, yeah. I don't want to, like,
how are you paying this mortgage?
I don't want to make 10 grand, and then they'd be like, hey, so, we noticed you had a deposit every week of $500 or whatever, like, what does this fucking mean? You know what I mean? So I'm like, all right, I can do that for a little bit, but I definitely can't do that for months on end because that's just illegal. So yeah. What am I going to do about that? So I'm traveling to like the San Francisco area. If any of you homeboys or homegirls out there,
you got pork toppings out in that area.
Yeah,
I
gotta see. I gotta hang out with some people. Dude.
Marcel's out there.
I'll definitely have to fucking play some like F&M's while I'm up there. I'll be by myself. Like literally, I know one other guy that I've been keeping in contact with to see, like, how much they're making up there, how many hours he's getting, what's the living situation like, traffic. Like, just getting all the details I need to know. If I go by there myself, you know, what should I be looking for and what jobs are available and all this shit. But what it seems like is I'll be making fucking ridiculous amounts of money up there, but I'll be miserable while I do it because of the fact that I won't be with anyone I know.
And you're working, like, 6-7 days a week, so.
I'm hopeful. That's the thing. If I'm there and they're like, oh, we'll give you 40 hours a week here, whatever. I'm like, why? What am I doing the rest of my time? Like, I want to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. 84 hours a week is what I want to fucking work. I want to work as much as possible because I'm not doing anything else. I'm going to come home, eat, take a shower, go to bed, rinse and repeat. If I'm not doing that,
well,
and I'm
just
playing
off.
Destiny. Yeah, I'm jacking off a little bit, 5 minutes. If I'm not playing, like, fucking games or whatever else, and I'm just up there doing nothing, like watching TV, Netflix seasons, it's a waste of my time. Like, it could be time spent making money.
Right.
So, like, if that happens and I have no other options, I might just, like, drive, like, Lyft or Uber or something like that while I'm fucking there. Because, like, really, I need to make money while I'm there the whole time or else it's not worth it. Because I got to pay for rent up there, which rent up there is the reason they get paid so well. There's one of the highest pay scales in the nation is because the rent up there is even higher than San Diego. And San Diego's already, like, fucked. San Diego's, like... I know a person that's paying $2,300 for a one-bedroom apartment in San Diego. You know what I mean? Like,
it's pretty ridiculous.
Fucking ridiculous out here. It's even worse out there. And then I think the other one like that is like basically Manhattan itself.
You should just rent a place in Oakland and then drive to... Because then basically when you live in Oakland, I think they just give you...
Free.
It's free. And you get free,
all section
you get free crack, right?
You get free crack.
Yeah.
I still think
it's
still
the 80s, right?
Yeah, I still think it's as expensive or more expensive than San Diego, even out there.
It's great.
Which is just doubly fucked.
And then if you get fired up there, at least you can do some like male dancing and earn some money that way.
I will have to do that. I have
to
lose.
You do that on the weekends.
I have to cut like...
Just work at a bear club.
I have to cut like a little bit of poundage, a little bit of LBs.
Oh, no. You
keep your sexy dad bod.
Well, then I need to grow more hair.
Yeah. Here, I'll donate to the
cause. Give me something. I just fucking super glue that shit on. Like, come on. So that's what I've been dealing with right now. And like, it's not been... We're actually sad yet. Like, I've been like, okay, everything's been normal, but it's going to be a shock to the system when I'm actually in my car driving up there, like saying goodbye to San Diego for, if everything goes the way I think it will, it'll probably be for 3 months. So, yeah.
Which isn't the worst, but still.
Yeah. It's not crazy, but like I said, I hope to be making as much money as I can afford my mortgage, afford rent up there, which should be like $1,000 a month, even renting a room. So, because it's very expensive up there. And I should be able to still take money in after that. But that requires me finding that job that just works me to death. I want to make sure I'm just at home, miserable and tired. So that when I get back, it'll all be in the past. And I'll have a fucking fat bank account.
Right.
Because I know that, like, I can just push it out of my mind. And then arrive fucking, you know, Christmas time, whatever. And be like, ah, you know. that was miserable, but like, what do I care now? Because it's the past, and now I'm sitting on X amount of money. So that's what I'm hoping will happen. And from the talks with the guy that's working up there right now, he's getting 60 hours a week, and 60 hours a week up there is like a lot. So yeah. I'm excited for the sense of what's going to happen in 3 months when I come home. I'm excited for that.
Nice.
It might be like a blessing in disguise for as far as like me being able to like get caught up from being laid off last time and shit like that. So, know what I'm saying? Fucking I mean, sorry. What's up?
I was like bummed when I, because I just heard about it last night when we were talking before the show, and I was like,
going to shock you guys on the cast, but you guys realize that I hit level 20 in Destiny 2 already?
Yeah.
And we're like, well, how is that fucking possible? You know, even if
I was like, sitting at home after working at night, and midday, I'm like, huh, Sauce is on Xbox, and it's like 1 in the afternoon. He should be at work. Something's up.
So, yeah. I cannot tell a lie, and I'm not very good at hiding my fucking tracks. So. Yeah, I got laid off on a Tuesday, the whatever, the fucking, what is that?
The day Destiny came out.
Sixth, yeah. So yeah, exactly. Which is awesome.
It was Destiny.
So, you know what's funny about that is that it's like awesome to have all this time to play this new game. And I remember I had a heart thing go on when I was 21 years old. And it was like it was not a good time, you know what I mean? But it didn't like bother me because all I knew is that like doctors, I had health insurance and doctors would take care of it. And that was it. So I was like, whatever. So I couldn't do any like, I couldn't really move besides like walking around the house.
Right.
Masturbating could have killed you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The doctor was like, just take like 3 weeks and don't do anything. Like, so I was living in an apartment. I moved back in with my parents for like 3 weeks. So that they could like make me meals and just, you know, I can just chill out. And that was the same time that GTA 4 came out, the same week. So I got that and I played that game like 10 hours a day for like 3 weeks. I just played the game non-fucking-stop. I brought my Xbox and a computer monitor and from my apartment and just played in my old bedroom when I used to live at, you know what I mean, for weeks. So it is like sad to say like, oh, you had like, you know, fucking trauma and bad shit happen. But all I remember is that I went to the doc. I was in the hospital for like 2-3 days,
didn't
and then I played GTA 4.
Didn't your buddies bring you porn?
No. So my smartest friend, I'm in the hospital and I'm there for a heart thing, and homie brings me a can of Monster. Like while I'm in the hospital, and I'm like, what? Like I'm in here for like my heart. Like I'm probably sure that I should not be having like taurine and fucking all this shit, you know. And he was like, like he felt so dumb, but he just wanted to do it as like a gesture of like, you know, thinking about you type shit.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because that's what I
just want to kill you.
Drinking a shit ton of Monsters like all day, every day. It was just like a thing that we did on the daily.
Yeah.
So it was just that. But I'm like, are you retarded? Like, do you belong in this hospital? You know. So that was fucking stupid as hell. So, anyways. That's pretty much it. I mean, I'm playing Destiny 2, level 20, baby. What up? What up? Hunter. Got my fucking, pint glasses that I have for Destiny 1 leftovers, where I have, like, the Destiny logo, and then I have the three classes, and I'm fucking drinking my beers, you know, and chilling, playing the game. It's pretty good. Nice. The game's fucking sick. Like, it's the same. It's a fucking identical, except for, like, so there's a third class for Hunter.
Is there?
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, so like I didn't realize that. So
I thought like from the trailers there was something missing from what I thought I understood was
happening. It's terrible,
so.
Bro. Don't even worry about it. It's fucking awful. But I got to level 20.
I'm gonna take the grain of salt because I know like you only do the fucking golden gun with the hunter. So like I'm gonna take that with a slight grain of salt and still try it.
Yeah, this is the. Yeah, I'm not even gonna say. I'll let you think your own opinion. But so when you discover a new fucking class, basically like your super weapon, your special. Then, like, you get to use it, like, unlimited for this little trial to, like, it's, like, a little part of the game where you get to use the gun, like, 30 times in, like, a couple minutes to just show you.
Basically demos at your
superpowers. Yeah.
So you, like, fucking go, oh, this looks
with the
this
demo,
is the power.
With the demo of the third weapon, I'm like, I can't even, like, kill anything right now. It's, like, fucking, wow. It's so horrible that, like, whatever.
Okay.
It's fucking awful.
That's not a good sign.
Yeah, and also, it's in my wheelhouse as far as what weapons I like. And I still couldn't kill like anything. It took me like if I actually used my super and wasted it without hitting anything, I'd be like, I am miserable right now. Like, I had waited, like, you know, fucking 8-10 minutes to, like, charge it up, whatever, but I killed a bunch of enemies. I use it, I hit nothing, and then I have to wait another 10 minutes, and I'm like, that's how this weapon feels, and I'm like, there's no fucking way I'm using this shit. The grenades are cool, though. But
I, really, yeah. I want it to be like...
level 20 is
like,
when it happens.
You're like turning into like a Hunter Western style where you just fucking dual six-shotted pistols, just hip firing from both triggers.
No. I can tell you what you do turn into, but I'm not going to because it'll spoil it. So, anyways, Destiny... I mean, we haven't been casting lately, but we have been playing some decks, and it's been good. Crow built a fucking absurd modern deck.
Oh, I'm so in love.
It's like against like creature decks.
Oh, God.
You know, even with like my one of my decks is like pretty good and has life gain in it, and it's still like it's a shellacking most of the time. Like, I can squeeze out a win if he's just slow, but if he like gets what he needs at all, you know, he gets like 3/4 of what he needs.
Reciprocal, like the entire deck is just trying to do this one thing, and so like every card is built to go towards that one.
And it's super low to the ground too, which is good. It's kind of like 8-rack. It kind of feels like that in the sense that if you're playing a fair deck and you're playing against 8-rack, you're gonna lose. Yeah. And 8-Rack will lose to combo, and it'll lose to Embercool. It'll lose a lot of stuff, but, like, if you're playing just kind of, like, the general, that, like, fair-ish deck, no infinite combos, no whatever, 8-Rack will pretty much kick the shit out of everybody. Same thing with this deck. It'll kick the shit out of everybody, so.
It's very obnoxious.
Yeah, exactly.
I fucking love it.
Yep, exactly.
So I'll probably get into that more, like, next cast, and I'll go over the deck list.
Maybe this cast. So, besides that, I mean, not really too much. I'm sure that we haven't casted in like 3 weeks or something, so I'm sure I have a million things to talk about, but, you know, after we get out of here, I'm going to fucking go to this festival, and it's all you can eat, all you can drink, and I'm going to fucking do that shit.
Oh, that's the day?
Until the fucking day I die. It'll be great. It's going to be awesome.
Nice.
So I literally just get to eat from like 50 vendors for free. Well, I paid for one fee. But 50 vendors and like 50 fucking wine and beer vendors, and I'm like, yeah, it's gonna be a great night. And then they have bluegrass that plays.
I was just about to ask, is it that same bluegrass?
And I get
thing?
To fucking chill out in a lawn chair, watch bluegrass, really fucked up and really full, probably shit my brains out in some fucking porta potties later tonight. It's gonna be great. So I'm excited about that. Something to look forward to. And I'm hoping though, when we get around to it, I'm hoping we can use that ZenCaster, whatever the fuck that website is, and I can still. Hopefully cast with you guys, half the time.
We do have the technology. I did buy a bunch of shit for, quote-unquote, online guests. So I guess you'll have to just guest every other week or something.
Basically. We'll see what happens, though. So, Krokowski.
So, right after our last cast, like you said, it's been like 3-4 weeks since we last fucking recorded. The next night, probably, go turn on my Xbox. And I've been having like these, it was like these little weird things where I kept having like games or apps or, you know, auto update on the Xbox One. And so, like, I kept going, like, where it'd pop up, and like midway through the update, it would stop updating and like say, it would just stop on its own.
Oh, that's really cool.
I couldn't
manually
fucking restart it. That's I couldn't the best. Whatever. Just, I'm like, okay, well, this is annoying as shit. Let it go. This has been going on for a couple of weeks, and then finally, this one night. Like, it did it again, and then all of a sudden, the Xbox was, like, kind of freezing out, so I turn it off, turn it back on, and it fucking black screens me.
Oh,
and I'm
no.
like, oh, my God. Oh, I start freaking out a little bit. It gives me, like, air code, E200, corrupted files. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm, like, doing all these things to, like, fucking restart it and this and that and try to get to fucking get past the screen. And, like, and then, like, it's nothing's working, and so, like, the only last option it gives me is, it literally says, reset to factory settings, delete... It says if you do this, you can keep, like, the games you've downloaded will stay downloaded, but it'll delete all your save files, delete all your apps, delete everything. And I'm like, oh, so it's been like 2 hours like trying to get something to work, and it wouldn't fucking work.
And I have 12 years of save files still,
God,
you know what I mean? Like,
freaking out.
I transferred my previous shit to my new shit. Like, I'm not fucking... And there's a cloud.
Like,
and
remember
like
how I talked about like with the duels on the Xbox? On the computer. How I was like, oh my God, I want to start. I was kind of freaking out about that.
Yeah,
that was just fucking magic duels. This is like Xbox and like everything. All my games.
They're gonna reset your achievement somehow.
I don't even know. But I mean, it literally said only it's gonna be factory fucking reset. Only it's gonna be saved is the games you've downloaded in a sense. But nothing. No, all your save files. Everything's gonna be fucking gone. And I'm like, I'm having a shit break. I'm fucking freaking out.
You should be. That's kind of like the biggest news ever for
God.
A gamer. What the
and I'm
fuck?
Like, it's like 3 in the morning. And I'm like, I'm just fucking like
deep sweats, like fucking anxiety. Like it was.
Wouldn't you be able to like fucking buy a new Xbox and that not happen?
I don't know those
because that's cloud. It's the
but
save.
Safe,
the save files are on the cloud. They're okay. Not on your. They're not local.
But
it's gonna be a duplicate of.
Local. And that's how I saw it too. To a point, like I mean, I had like a backup fucking hard drive and things like that as well. And, but like knowing how new shit goes, like your things are to a cloud a lot of times. But when the fucking title screen literally says reset to factory, all your save files will be erased. I see that as all my shit and everything's gonna be fucking gone.
Okay, so let me back up. Is this for a general for like one game? No.
This is my system. This okay, isn't okay, for a game. Okay. This is the system will not start. This is a black screen Air 200, and it is telling me fucking
gotcha.
Corrupted files.
Gotcha.
Air 200, bro. That's air of death.
So I'm fucking losing it, and then so I'm hitting up fucking Xbox support. I think I talked to him for a minute.
They're like, yo, holla at your boy.
And so I forget.
They're like, what's up, fam?
What's up, fam?
Actually, you know what? I talked to them later because I had to fucking recover my profile because it's an old email that is no longer active.
Oh, great. So that's how you get tied into your Xbox name?
Yes.
You dumbass.
Well, it's been my same fucking for 9 years as Xbox 360.
Well, why do you not have... I mean, how do you not have your old email? Why is it inactive or why did
because
you...
Because it's on a...
You haven't logged into it in 9 years and they're like, yeah, we're going to delete this.
Yeah, it's
that's
through,
weird.
Yeah,
okay.
It's not through Gmail or Yahoo. It's like fucking through Cox.net. Like, it's not an email you use.
Fucking
it's an email
Netscape.
My mom created for me. The email's literally like Jersman. Like, I wouldn't make my own fucking email.
Jersman!
She made it for me when I was like 10, okay?
He said it, guys. He admitted it. It's Jersman.
Yes.
What the fuck was that email... service that you could like do it offline. Do you remember that at all?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Like it was
about,
back in like the 56K. Like,
I was gonna say the 50s.
Dude.
I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, back in the 50s, dude.
I have no idea what
called
you're talking
the
about.
Post office. I'll remember. I'll think of it.
So yeah. No, so I am going. Well, I've been doing this for 2 hours now. Fuck it. Let's just. I have to fucking delete everything I have. I just have to restart. Fucking go through the whole factory reset, start it up. I'm like, okay, games are here. And then I had to go through an hour-long process of fucking going through support and recovering my email and this and that. I sign back in, and then I sign back in, I'm like, yes! Yes! Everything is still there. I was fucking stoked. Because like you said, it's to the cloud save and all that kind of shit. But when the fucking black screen is telling me all my save files are gone if I do this, it freaked me the fuck out. Luckily,
as it should,
3 hour fucking endeavor of losing my fucking shit and losing my mind. It's like when Brent fucking his computer crashed and shit and he lost all his shit. You know, just felt that moment of like, oh my god.
Yeah, I have 3 hard drives on my computer now because I'm like, nope, just a whole bunch of fucking nope. Thank you. Whatever I have, it's important, like pictures or whatever from fucking 10 years ago. That shit is duplicated. Oh, I have 4 hard drives because one of them is in my closet. Like, I'm top shelf. I just have, like, all right, whatever's, like, the old shit that I really care about, I have it all on there, and I just fucking shoved it away. So, like, even if there is, like, some kind of electrical surge that's going to blow up everything, I still have that at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, music now, it's funny. Music, I don't care about now. Because usually I, like, valued, like, what albums I had on the PC and shit like that. But now that we have services like, you know, whatever, Slacker, Stitcher, Google Play, like, whatever, where you pay a monthly fee and you just get unlimited... Like, that's not going away. That's the future. So, like, I know that for the rest of my life, I can listen to any album from any artist as much as I want as long as I pay the $10 a month or whatever. And that's – and then there's still YouTube even as a backup or something. So, I know that no matter what, I don't need to fucking buy another album for my life because when a new album comes out, it's available to stream or download locally using their app, you know. So, anyways, I'm happy about music. I don't have to, like, worry about the fucking terabyte of music I have, you know.
By the way, in case anybody needs a little discount on their shit, Spotify and Hulu team up for $5 student bundle.
Add.
So I don't really care about like Spotify, but like getting Hulu $5 a month.
You know? I'm like the opposite. I'd care about Spotify more than Hulu. So there you go. Perfect.
Perfect. Either way, it's like $5 for both a month. It's
That's awesome.
I will take it.
The one I'm on is just that Google Play YouTube Red, $10 a month. But it's nice, you know, no ads and fucking whatever. Turn the screen off and it won't fucking stop your YouTube video, so that's pretty nice.
This section of the podcast is brought to you by Fuck You Cable and Fuck You Radio.
Yeah, basically that. YouTube TV, bro. What's up? It's fucking nice. It's nice.
So the only good thing about this last month of us not recording is I'm like, well, fuck, I need to have some more magic content for myself. So I took a step towards my previous goal where I talked about this year's goals for myself was to make like have like 20 legit decks that are built to just have ready to fucking play. And so I, in this time period, I built like 3 new modern decks and a frontier deck, including this, what I call Trojan's Curse, this really fucking actually really good modern deck that I'm really excited about, which we'll get into another time for deck list and shit. So that's been kind of fun, just, you know, a couple like budget brews and, you know, janky things, just kind of fun shit. I built my own version of the Seance deck and whatnot. So the other thing, you guys always used to be like really big into fucking Trials, right?
Trials HD?
Yeah.
Like the fucking dirt bike game?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, that was so, a really like, great fucking game.
And I always like appreciate it to a sense. My brother was really into it. I never really got into it myself. I played it a little bit here and there. But I was like, you know, I appreciate it, but it was not something that I spent hours playing.
The problem with this game and other games like it that are like very competitive, you know what I mean? They're like very the part of the what's good about the game is dependent on like competitive nature with your other people on Xbox. So like you have a friend, they have a certain time, a certain amount of. You know, failures or whatever on each level. You know, you get like 500 at the max, and like if you can do it in like 4 or 0 even or something like that, it's better than the other thing. So, anyways, the problem with that is that a lot of my friends are better than me at these games. So, even though I feel like I'm pretty good, some of my friends are like really fucking good, and I'm like, well, that's great. And that means I can never, you know, win at any of this shit. So.
There was a point where it was like right after I got clean, I would go over to Peppermint Swirl's house like every night, and we would just play Trials HD until we got like, you know, platinum or whatever the highest ranking was on all the extreme tracks and everything, and it was just like, we just were obsessed with all the
it was important.
Unlocks and it was important, achievements.
Dude. I remember being there where they had one of them where you had to do like you had to do like 20 tracks in a row without failing or something like that, and it took like an hour. And so it's a big commitment because if you fail, you have to just start the whole thing over. The only way to get the achievement or whatever the thing was is like to do, maybe it wasn't 20 tracks, maybe it was like 10, but there was a lot. I mean, there was a lot of time.
Yeah.
And then
the tournaments.
The night we all went over there, there was like a lot of people over there at his place. And then Peppermint Swirl, Colin, he fucking beat it. And we were like, it was just like cheering and shouting and like everyone freaking the fuck out over.
He won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it was like, it was huge. It was huge, dude. Okay, last thing. Before you're going to pick up where you're at. Sorry, we're cutting you off.
No worries.
That guy, Peppermint Swirl, for example, of how good he is or whatever at games, when he puts his mind to things, I remember he had the highest world score of any game I've ever seen. He got third place in the world for one of the races in Dirt, the rally game. And Dirt's like a pretty popular game. Like, I know it's maybe not in our fucking group, but Dirt worldwide, especially in Europe, like, it's a pretty big deal. Rally is like big over there. So this was, you know, still having the 500,000 players or more in the leaderboards, and he was number fucking 3.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa. Like, that's like, I put that on the resume. Like, that's a big fucking deal to be that, you know? And like,
he came in second in Guitar Hero.
Like, I mentioned, tournament. I mentioned like Guitar
Hero. Third in the world in Dirt.
I mentioned like Guitar Hero. Now. I was like number like 75 in the world. That felt great. But that's not even close to number 3. That's
Wait, when you pull up the track and there's like the top 5 list, like you look over to the right and then there's his name, you know? Like, yeah, it's. It's kind of a big
absurd,
deal.
Dude.
They don't show 75.
He said that he's like the 2 times above him. He said that they cheated. Like he's like you knew enough about the map that he was number 3. I'm pretty sure he knows about the track as much as he didn't.
They were like the same exact number, like tied for.
No, it was a lot higher. Like it was a decent. Where say his was like 50 seconds. The other people's were like one of them was like 37 and one of them was like 45. And it's like no. Everyone at 3 and above was like 50 for like, you know, thousands were all at 50.
Right.
And then it got to 51 and thousands were at 51, you know what I mean? So he thinks basically as a fair contest that he was number 1, and I'm like, I believe you because you can't have one person can't be 37 and then one person be 50 and then the rest of the world's at 50, you know what I mean? That's not a thing. So anyways, continue on with your introduction. Mr. So and Crow, the handsome man, beardy face.
I brought it up because Trials of Fusion was free on Xbox One. I was like, well, you know what? Free, sure. I'll go ahead and download it. And I only played maybe fucking 20 tracks at the most, maybe 10. But like, you made a comment about like, oh, trying to beat your friends. And I kept looking at knife scores. You know, it was like, I only
do I have any scores list. Or no?
I don't think so.
Okay.
And I'm like, how the fuck? Like, cause like, how the fuck are you so far ahead? Like, and I started realizing, okay, yeah, some of the you bikes have baby. Better speed, right?
What's that?
Later on in the game, you unlock like faster bikes.
Yeah, you unlock different okay. bikes.
You can always upgrade.
And I feel like, cause like, a couple times, like, I went through fucking pretty good. And I'm like, there's no way I'm still behind him by like fucking 7 seconds. Like, fuck you, no fucking way. All right,
do you know the value of the front flip?
Yeah.
Okay, the front flip.
I mean, well, to an extent, like, I don't the front know the flip very is well.
Very important. In
the physics, knowing the physics of the game, not that you don't know what physics. I know you're a smart guy, but just knowing, like,
I appreciate
when
that.
To like always put the back tire down first in certain situations or this and that, like, is super important. Just like this,
or ride the front wheel on yeah. the landing. You ride the front wheel instead, and then the front flip is like a way to make a smaller parabolic arc, you know what I mean, if that makes sense. Like, you won't go as high, you will travel farther before you will travel higher.
Travel.
It gives you less hang time.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I don't know. So, I was like, I started going like, okay, how the fuck? I mean, I guess maybe you probably know the physics better on that part of the game, because I only have trials. I've never really...
But also bikes. Yeah.
But then I'm like, okay, well...
You can go back and do
those.
There's
like one or two maps where, like, being like 10, 15 seconds, I'm like... Like, another guy, like, I was like in third place. Another friend of mine on the list was like only a couple seconds ahead of me. I'm like, how the fuck is he so far ahead? And then I realized you unlocked my bike.
A couple seconds is a lot. You should be fighting for like the 0.2, 0.3 of a second over.
Well, I'm not saying I'm good at the fucking game. This is the first time I've actually really played it all. So like, I was like, fuck me. And then
we were devoted. We were like really devoted to this game for a while.
Well, actually, this was Fusion, and I think that was after like.
Fusion's like the newest. Right?
Yeah, Fusion's only like 3 years old at this point.
So, but like some of those early tracks, like you need to use like a less powerful bike just to be able to hit all the rhythms, right? You know,
totally because agree.
If you use like the top end bike, like it's throwing off your whole. You're like you're not hitting your.
Well, maybe I just suck and you're really good. I don't know.
unless you're. I bet you could do it with a bigger bike, even though it makes sense what you're saying, if you really had that much control over braking, because I don't like braking that game for shit.
Right.
But if you did have enough where you could accelerate off of a landing and then brake before, because you're right, you can't just go full power into every jump because then you'll just overshoot and then you're just going to fucking, like, call it pancaking, you just fucking like hit the beginning of the next jump without hitting the landing of the first jump. So like
and also I spent a lot more than 20 minutes playing that game. I spent a lot of time just fucking, you know, starting the map and then like crashing 10 seconds in and then just restarting and learning where all the like spots are, and like I got really into Trials Fusion.
I like using the fucking little, like, the toddler-sized bike. That's, like, impossible for fucking
to move on. And I'm going to post it on Twitter.
You hit the donkey?
If you just, like, not even the donkey. Like, there's literally, you know, the little kid-type bikes, really small ones. You, like, as a big dude, like, sit on, like the fat man on a bike. That's, like, literally, like, a two-foot-long bike. Really tiny. Like, if you just hit, just going, if you hit the gas full or even hit the gas half. Nice. You'll fucking fall backwards and like crash.
Right.
Like you have to like tap it and like, start to move a little bit and then go. And then still then you're like you might still fucking upend yourself and do a wheelie and fucking crash.
So on the way over here I bought a beer and I stopped by our liquor store, like, you know, it's on the way here or whatever. And I pull up and then after I get out of the car, a fucking 12-year-old pulls up to the liquor store on a 50cc three-wheeler, no helmet. Just like literally driving down like residential streets or whatever, and he fucking pops up and just parks it in like the loading zone for the handicap, and he just parks his fucking his three wheeler there and walks in to buy like candy bars and soda. And I'm like,
badass.
I'm like, what city am I really living in right now? I'm gonna post a picture on Twitter. It's so fucking funny to see this kid pull up, turn his bike off, walk in, buy fucking candy, hop on the bike, truck, and drive away back to his house. Like, that's like bicycle and skateboard shit, bitches. Not motorized vehicle shit.
That's the type of shit that happens, like, up on the reservation all the time where I work. Where it's just like, fucking kids are just riding like the, you know, the big ass like golf carts.
Yes.
They got all their friends on and they're like hauling ass around the fucking streets and like almost crashing into people. I'm like, where the fuck am I? Is this what fucking, can we get some police or fucking throw some dirt clouds at him or something?
Like,
I don't know.
Police run down this road, the main, because like there's residential off the main road where I'm talking about, and the main road is like a very main road and there's cops on it all the time, so I'm wondering what the fuck, like this, a cop has got to be like walking or you're driving by that and being like what the fuck and like pulling in and talk to that kid because what the hell. It's like high risk to me.
I just imagined like a total badass kid, like I don't give a fuck.
Spiked hair, fucking cool ass glasses,
walks up, throws his keys at you.
Fucking
watch my fucking trike or I'll fuck your girlfriend.
Yeah. No, no t-shirt on.
Oh yeah, I forgot to mention that he did beat my ass and steal my girl while I was there shopping for beer. And give me the finger guns.
So on the game topic, came across some YouTube video of this guy playing the old fucking I didn't even know about it, honestly. It's an old it's not MTGO in any kind of fucking form, but it's an old Magic the Gathering game where part of the game is you're able to play, it's on Chandelar.
Yeah.
So you know about this game?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like an old school.
Is it the one on console?
I think so.
Okay. It's not the old client, it's the console one or whatever.
Well, they had it on the, I'm not sure which specific one, but I know there was like a game based in Chandelar or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think it might have been on the console.
They had a console game, PC. I remember that, so.
They've had a couple counts.
It was like a basic card game plus like other weird shit going on.
So it's like it's like an old school mix between Pokemon trading card game on the fucking Game Boy with like a like that old school Zelda feel where it's a top fucking thing and you kind of walk from town to town, shit like that. So, but anyways, I'm watching a player going like, fucking. I looked into it, like you can actually, somebody went into it maybe just only a couple years ago now and fucking revamped it to be able to update, play it on like new PCs, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm so excited to play this game because it's older and you play older, shittier cards, and it's kind of a simplified things going on, and what's in the game. But like that kind of game, like I really enjoy those fucking little games like that, like the Pokemon trading card game on the Game Boy. I played through that game fucking 20 times.
Like, five survive that you on your upkeep you take 3 damage. You know?
Yeah,
like,
perfect.
Shit like that. Rare, super rare. Most powerful card in the game.
But it looks like he did like a 20 part series of him playing through the game and shit. And it was just kind of fun to. I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched like the first like 4 episodes. And it just, I don't know. I'm really excited to fucking download this game on the PC and fucking play. It's just, I don't know. It looks fun to me.
I was offering to Crow, because he came over the other day, like, if you just buy a basic PC, I have a video card for you that will allow you to play games. Like, it'll allow you to play, it might even allow you to play a AAA game on, like, the lowest settings. Like, it's not a bad video card, it's just that the one that I, you know, gifted myself, rewarded myself for working a lot of overtime last year, I fucking bought that GTX 1070. But the other one, I mean, like, it's totally fine. Like, it still allowed me to play, like, Doom and all kinds of shit, you know what I mean? Just to make sure I wasn't cranking up settings to fucking into the sky. But I'm just saying, if you could probably get away with buying a PC that's enough to play a game for like $500 and I just give you this card and then you're good to go. Like, you don't need, if you want to get like a proper, he was talking about like, I want to get a proper gaming PC.
Yeah, because when I finally go that way, and like, because I want to, right now I legitimately only have a laptop. And I have an old PC, but it's fucking way too many years old that I'm not even going to plug it in compared to how like quickly computers become dinosaurs. So I have a laptop that's not a bad laptop, but it's just a laptop. You can't fucking run real shit on it, like, for as far as gaming, like that. So when I do eventually buy a fucking PC, I want to get a legit gaming PC.
The problem with that is that gaming PCs are like, we're talking like minimum, I would say, $1,300 to get a proper.
I understand that. I'm not in a rush to do it, but it's something that when I want to get it and have that fucking computer be legit for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not looking to do tons of shit on it, but I don't want to buy some piece of shit. It's like buying, like, work boots that are, instead of spending $120 on Docs, which is what I wear for work boots, Doc Martens. And so people go out there and spend like the $20, $30 on the Walmart specials, and they're fucking have to go buy a new $20, $30 pair in 3 months
because those fall apart. I remember spending $50 on those, and I was like,
$120
on
my Doc Martens are going to last me 18 months to 2 years. Like, you buy quality, you don't buy quantity.
See, even if at $120, I'm like, that's a fucking steal. Because my work boots are like $270, so like, but you can't even think about that because all it is a tool to making money. So you don't have to like worry about how much they cost when it's a profession. Like, if you got to buy a certain tool and it's super expensive, it's like, whatever. This is a profession. This is not, like, a hobby. If it's a hobby, then that's way too much money. You know what I mean? But if it's, like, a profession, like, whatever.
Yeah.
Spend as much money as you need to get the good shit. There's,
like, good workers, like, Red Wings and, like, all that shit. And that's fine. It's, I personally prefer Doc Martens.
Yeah.
It's a style thing.
I'm just saying, like, 120, I'm like, fuck, I'd love to pay that. That'd be awesome.
120, 140, something like that.
So, yeah, you're looking, if you're going to just buy a PC and not have to worry about it for a while, you know, like Sauce said, 1300, 1500. Yeah. 1500 is my guess.
1500 is like a, you could probably get the top video card, the GTX 1080, 1080 Ti or something like that, for, yeah, like $1,500, $1,600. You probably get like a PC that'll last you probably 4 years without touching it, as far as being able to play whatever you want.
And then, like,
I'll probably go like a tier down.
Which is what I have. I have tier down from the top.
Like, I'm not planning on playing a whole bunch of fucking top tier AAA games on it. I'm looking to play some good computer games or things like that on it, or whatever I want to fucking do. But I don't like, I'm not planning on like completely switching over to be a PC player.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not
doing mine that. Was 1400, but I have like the second from the top, basically. Yeah. So I have, but the thing is, another thing with all this kind of shit is that you have to do extra stuff now because everything is like really fucking powerful. Even though it doesn't draw a lot of power as much as the old ones, you don't need as big. Like, I remember, like, a power supply would, like, a big deal. Now it's not quite as big a deal. But I have to have, I have water cooling for my PC. And that's not something I expected to have. But you kind of need it for the CPUs that we have now that push all this fucking numbers that, you know, make sense to someone smarter than me. So now I have fucking water cooling for my shit because you kind of need that to have, like, consistent, you know, you can play for 3 hours gameplay. If you don't have that, then your frame rates and all that shit will drop after, like, playing for 40 minutes. But that's like, annoying, so.
Like you said, you're not going to be playing, like, you know, something new comes out and you're like, oh, I'm getting this for the PC.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to end up hooking your Xbox One controller up to your PC anyway. So it's like most of the games, new games you're going to play are going
to
be.
Then you don't even need the second one. You need, like, the fourth one to do
because,
that.
Because, like, I got a, you know, not super top-of-the-line gaming PC, but I got, like, a good PC, like, 6 years ago. I've been able to play any game I've wanted on it, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, then again, I like to play fucking, like, side-scrollers or, like, isometric shit or, you know, whatever. There's a couple, like, Skyrim and shit like that, and, like, I've had no problem.
Yeah.
So, in any game that comes out, you know, like, today, right, I'm going to play on the console.
I guess the conversation I'm having is more like, do you want it to beat your Xbox One? And if you do, then we're talking about the $1,300.
No, I don't need it to beat it.
If you need it to be just that, then probably, $900 or something. Probably.
Yeah, so that's the range I'm looking at. I mean, like, eventually, like, this isn't, like, right now, this is what I want to do, but I want, like, when I go to do it, I want to do it, like, at least decently correct. And the fact that you guys have the knowledge on it, because I know computers, but I don't know about fucking building out specs and all that kind of shit.
Right. That's all, like, I know. I don't really know hardware. I don't know anything about software. Like, I can hardly edit videos. Like, I'm fucking, like, awful at everything that has to do with programming. I just do a decent amount of research. Not the greatest, but a decent amount of research on what's available nowadays for, like, you know, how much RAM is necessary, what's the best value for CPUs, motherboards, you know, shit like that. But it's also very easy to, like, build a PC. I mean, like, you just build the fucking five components,
throw it together in an hour, you're fine. When the time comes to actually go this route and get there, one, I have your guys' knowledge of it, and two, my cousin and his best friend built their own, like, top tier fucking.
The guy who gave you all the magic cards?
Yeah. So
I didn't know that was him, but just looking at him, he knows a lot about computers.
Thank God.
Yeah. So yeah, him and his best friend, like, built their own, like, fucking, like, you see those PCs that people have, like, you know, the translucent fucking, see the insides, but they got the fucking light up colors, got the, you know, the water cooling, all
when,
that
when
shit.
When the bass hits, it fucking lights, like, up.
And then they have all the crazy shit.
I got RGB, son. We're good.
Got the fucking, like, the nuke switch to turn the fucking thing on, the key starter. They have all the fucking, like, that top tier one fucking computer.
Yeah. You have to flip the fucking the polyurethane panel up, and then you can hit the red start
button. The nuke starter, So, like, when the time comes,
there's,
like, I have
keys.
Plain knowledge to draw from.
There's two keys. And you can't reach them by the same person. Like, they're so far apart, you need two people to turn the keys at the same time. And enter the code. And then
submarine alarm.
You hear a fucking jet start up when your PC starts up, because all the fans. So many fans. You never have too many fans.
So the last two things real quick is, one is a funny story and then a little bit of good news. So I'm working the door at my bar, and it's not like a busy night. I think it was like a Monday night, Sunday night, something like that. And this dude walks in. You know, he seems like whatever, like nothing to him. Sits down. A few minutes later, his girlfriend walks in. I'm like talking to her a couple minutes, like making sure she's not too intoxicated because someone was just off about her. Like, ended up letting her in. Slower night. Like, I don't know, whatever. She's a little weird. Well, night continues on for another hour. They're sitting there near the front door at a table drinking.
She was a cyborg.
And, like, she's, like, getting, like, weirder and weirder. Every time she comes out to smoke, she's just, like, it's, like, okay, this chick's on some kind of drugs at this point. Like, something's off.
Is her eyes just, like, super big?
No, like, nothing about her appearance showed it. It's just her, like, other than, like, she had some twitchiness and the way she talked, it was, like, something was off.
Okay.
So now, like, now also that, you know, the manager who's at the front, you know, happened to be outside at that point, we're hanging out, and he's the one actually I'm good friends with and everything, and we're talking, we're watching this couple. And they're just getting a little weird, so we're watching them. And then at one point, they start making out, which is whatever. But then he puts his hand down her shirt and, like, grabs her tit. And, like, that's, you know, fine, boyfriend, girlfriend, but, like, you can't really have that in a bar too much.
Yeah,
to
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
And it was, like, just that one excuse to, like, just say, okay, it's time these weirdos
how
to go.
How good she look?
Nah, I mean, she wasn't, yeah, no.
She's fine, okay.
Yeah. And so he's like, okay, time to get him out of here. So he tells me to go inside. As soon as I walk up to the table, get ready to say, hey, guys, you know, at this point, it's probably the time. I walk up and get ready to say my whole spiel. As I walk up and say, hey, guys, he goes, yeah, yeah, we're getting the fuck, I'm finished my drink, we're getting the fuck out of here, we're paying right now. Just fucking go away. Like, okay, bro, you need to take it down a fucking notch, just relax. Walk back over to the front door, sure enough, they finish their drink, they pay their fucking bill. As he's walking out, I'm at my back to, like, the door, so I don't have space to move. He walks right in front of me, almost chest to chest, so his face is only a good fucking 6 inches away from me. He goes, you have a nice fucking day. Like, hey, oh, you need to fucking relax. And as he does this, he walks right past me, so I have to, like, kind of turn to follow him, because now I'm, like, on edge, like, this guy's, what the fuck this guy. He gets right past me, he turns, and says, he goes, you fucking fag, and shoves me real quick in the chest. And in that second, in that moment of me getting shoved back to turn to look back at him, and, like, you know, square back up, in that half second, he is now 15 feet away from me in the middle of the street, sprinting, dead fucking sprint, running, flipping me off as he's looking back behind him, sprinting away. Fuck you, fag! I'm like, dude, really? you shoved me and ran as fast as I've seen anybody run in their life.
Where's the chick?
She's like 10 feet away because she walked out first, actually. And so she's like walking now, kind of following him. And at the time, a couple other fucking security guards who worked there were off shift and drinking, hanging out. One of the dudes, who's a amateur MMA fighter, is like, fuck that, sprints out to the guy, chases him down to around the corner to a point where I can't see what's happening. But, like, he gets to him, and he's, you know, he's also, he's not, like, wasted. He's calm and collected, but he's like, fuck that, you can't let him do that shit and fucking just walk away and, like, sprint away like that. Catches up to him, starts kind of punking him, like, call him out. And the chick goes, he's a little bitch, don't kick his ass. he's a pussy and he knows it, don't beat him up. And the guy starts going, yeah, yeah, I'm so sorry, and starts cowering and continue to walk away.
He's a pussy and he knows it.
That's amazing.
That's what amazing. That's what you want in a woman, you know. Yeah. Just totally pull your covers.
He sprinted 15 feet away from me in a fucking half second and flipped me off and run away. And sure enough, like, you know, he's like, yeah, she's right. Don't hurt me.
Wow. Wow.
So then my buddy, you know, he walked back and told me, I'm like, okay, well, good. I'm glad. This was the best case scenario, because at the point I was already kind of annoyed. Then
you guys all
shit.
Get to
I'm
laugh
like,
about it later.
Yeah, I'm great. Like, you know, I'm glad he ran away, because I might have gotten a little more overboard with it, and, like, because he fucking shoved me, and, like, okay, well, good. I'm on camera, and I don't have to do anything over the top to him. Like, he's gone. But it's just kind of like, okay, whatever, dude. I just couldn't believe when he shoved me, called me a fag, and then as I look back up, he's already 15 feet away from me in a dead sprint. Like, it was good. It was funny.
That's pretty great. That's pretty
funny.
Hey,
you got to know your strengths, man. You know?
I'm super good at pushing and running.
Yeah.
Really good at that. Fighting, I don't know what that is.
Yeah. I can use my legs really well.
Yeah.
For running.
I'm fast. I run a lot.
Cowering and admitting that my girlfriend's right when she's calling me a pussy. Yeah, I got that down. The last thing is,
that's fucking stupid.
Somehow I have an interview with the county of San Diego to become a supervisor for maintaining roads and like, you know how you actually your street here, yep, just got paved.
Mm-hmm.
That's something I could be supervising.
Nice.
Giving you guys the best landscaping
and shit.
It's like, very good price.
You like an asphalt? I get you more of that.
So between the erosion and landscaping stuff and, like,
Somehow I have a fucking interview to become a county supervisor. So.
When's that?
Next Thursday.
Good.
Nice.
So you can tell us how it goes on the podcast.
We'll see.
Perfect. Fuck yeah.
So kind of crazy, exciting. You know, fucking great starting salaries. I'm like, fucking, county benefits are great.
Yeah, working with the city is fucking good.
Yeah, so. Any of that kind of shit, and then...
Right, county's actually even better than
you
city.
Know, for you know city,
but yeah. What's fucked up Invisible. Is that our homie... So our homie fucking dear and departed Mr. Reich Cardine.
Dear departed?
Yeah. He...
dead to us.
He died. So anyways, he was at a... he had a county job or whatever, like doing... He was doing like...
changing printer ink.
He was so he had? He's not, he was like he's
a,
not working
He was like a computer specialist or whatever.
Network
specialist or whatever for the city. He was like some department where they dealt with like... retirement and shit like that. Anyways, he was just part of that whole thing. You know, once you get into like a fucking government job,
yeah.
Then you should be good. Fucking, they moved all of that shit like overseas.
So he got
laid off. But now? So now he got a better job. That's the thing. Good. So that's nice. Good. Is that during this thing? It wasn't like a surprise. It was like in 3 months you will be let go.
Wow.
So he got a lot of time to figure it out.
It's actually, I mean, like, that's, I'm not, they move shit over, but once you actually get a city or county job, it is almost impossible for them to find.
Yeah, because then you can literally just pick up another job. Yeah, you can pick up another job.
Well, not even that, like, you can do so many things to get yourself fired, and they still cannot or will not fire you.
Right.
My mom works for the county, too, so, like, she's a manager for
that's what
county,
and my point shit. Is that you and think
she's
that
like,
you're safe.
She's like, this person is so beyond the time, so fucking horrible a job, they do literal nothing, but we cannot get rid of her. Like,
so the only way you lose your job is that...
They ship it overseas.
Yeah.
Fucking Chinese. Goddamn.
I think it's more India.
Yeah, I know. Whatever. I was trying to like not go red dot. I don't know.
You cannot go red dot. All right. So, anyways,
never go.
He got a job with the police department.
Don't help it all.
So the police department, and he is doing the all like the GoPros on the chest cams. You know what I mean? And so he's like implementing like iPhones or like Galaxy Samsungs or whatever.
He's building a back door so he can turn it off and beat people up. Right?
Yeah, I'm saying.
Good.
So he's doing with like he's. I think he's like. Part he's like either part of or running like a 700 person like you know body cam thing or whatever connected to their cell phones, connected to the network, all this shit. So he seems like he's doing just fine.
Cool.
Like it might be better of a job, you know what I mean? So that's kind of cool. And then now he's talking about he's like, well, now I think I'm gonna really try and get my concealed carry license because now I'm working for the police department. I know the people that can like approve that shit. And I'm like, no, California. Like, you could get, like, raped, and California's like, nah, we're good. You can't conceal a weapon. Like, concealed carry is, like, really, really hard to get in California. It's fucking, like, you need, like, death threats. You need, like, crazy shit happening to you and, like, proof of it happening to you and, like, really bad stuff, and then you could finally get it. And I'm like, I don't know if, like, knowing a guy will, like, get you this thing. But he's really convinced. And I'm like, good on you. I hope you get it. But I'm like, I fucking... highly doubt that you're going to get a concealed carry in California for literally no reason. Like, you have no enemies. Like, there's none of this shit going on.
But I work for the police
department. That's what I think it is. So I'm like, if you get it, dude, that's dope. I mean, like, what's the problem? If it's legal and you can carry a pistol around with you all the time, like, that's great. I would love that. I think that'd be fucking awesome. But, like, I'm not...
He doesn't need it whatsoever.
Well, he lives in Spring Valley. Shit happens.
He does live in a bad area. It is true. He does live in a fucking bad area. I think he's moving though eventually to our city. Area.
Okay.
Yeah, to our area because I think that it is like bad school districts over there.
And
so
he's
I think
got
he's
a kid
trying
now.
To get
so he's
got a
get
kid now, so yeah, I'm pretty sure different. He wants the kid to grow up somewhere better than where he's at. So
yeah.
Where he's at is like a very it's just it's a bad neighborhood, you know what I mean? And there's like a
lot of meth.
It's a lot of drugs and like I don't want to say like there's a lot of minorities. I'm just saying that's like very there's like it's very dense
sexually
with like
housing.
Yeah, it's just like very dense with like a bunch of different kinds of people. So like you got a lot
that's
of
never a good neighborhood.
You got exactly because you got like a bunch of like,
exactly
weird. You got a bunch of weird competing shit going on there. He's like lives on the border between like different kinds of. Like,
different sets,
like different hoods, bro. Yeah. Like, it was right in the middle. Of
it's
that
not,
shit.
It's not a joke. That's it's, not, no, it's not a anything joke. Racist.
He lives in some shit that's it's right in the fucking middle of all of it. And you know, like he hears gunshots, like he has the whole thing going on.
Yeah,
you know, everyone has the fucking bars in their windows, the fenced off front yards, all that shit. Like,
needs to get the fuck out.
It's
of
like
there.
Fucking. It's like Friday, bro, over there. So without the weed, the pleasant weed. So yeah, anyways, it's a fucking pretty rough neighborhood, you know what I mean?
And then to end my intro, Sauce like fucking texted us like, "Oh, Destiny, I'm downloading Destiny now. It's fucking on." And going into it, like I didn't look too much into Destiny 2
like going in. I was just kind of listening off of what you were talking about, and I wasn't still 100% if I was going to buy the game or not. And then I'm sitting there, 2 in the morning, you made a comment like 2 hours before that about how you're downloading it. I'm like, fuck it, download it, and like then playing that nonstop. Like,
it's, what level you got right now?
17.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty
I mean,
good.
Like,
pretty good. You're right there, bro.
But I mean, like,
you're like 2 hours away from 20.
I play, like, how me and I play, like, I'm still, like, I haven't even, I just actually left Titan, so I'm on, like, the third planet now. Like, and I haven't even started that at all. Like, I'm still, I just do keep doing public events and running around and.
Gotcha.
I don't,
like, I've done, campaign. I do all the side missions. Like, I do, yeah. I definitely finish, make sure that there's no side missions before I do the next main mission. Yeah. I definitely do that. But as far as public events, like, I've probably done, like, 8. You know, like, nothing crazy.
Yeah, I keep, like, meaning to go to the fucking main mission, but, like, in this game, the coolest part, like, one of the, like, in the Destiny 1, like, yeah, the public events, like, happen a decent amount, but, like, this is, like, I swear, they pop up every, like, fucking, like, it goes on, like, 5 minutes of a warning, like, hey, you can get to the flag and join the event, and then, like, a 5-minute event. And then, like, 5 minutes of no event, and then 5 minutes out of that, it starts again. So, like, very minimal time of not playing that going on. So
you started playing it, right?
Sweet.
Right.
What level are you at right now?
6.
Okay. So, the thing is with the events. Last Destiny 1, I had an app on my phone that would tell me when the events were happening. Now, sometimes they have 3 events going on at the same time in the same planet. So, like, you'll go to a planet, and you'll see, you know, not all going on, like, literally at the same time, but you'll have the timer going off for 3 different events. And so, like, you are able to play public events nonstop if you wanted to. You can just go
that
from
was
public event.
Plus,
public
literally event. The first mission I did, I dropped into the instead of doing the main
right
mission.
Here.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, fuck it, yo. There's a bunch of level 20s around me. I'll fucking survive.
Yeah.
With my level 2
dude. The
other
fucking really cool part they did about it is before, like, they weren't on the map. Like, it would say public event if you went in an area, like, starting soon or whatever.
Right, but you had no idea where it was or nothing.
You're like, okay, I know the particular, like, 4 spots on this planet where there's public events. And you try to go find those spots of what's happening. Now it's like literally you can be in orbit or like and it shows it on the map.
Yeah, and they have a flag where it starts. Like you just find the flag and you know you're going to be there. You wait 2 minutes, you're going to be there.
So like that's one of the things you said like exactly the Destiny 1. Like, well, yes and no. Like yes, the gameplay and everything about it is like very similar. But now like all the things that were wrong with Destiny 1, like having to like literally go to orbit just to go to another fucking planet, like it's extra step for no fucking reason. Now you can literally just hold fucking select. And go to a planet right away rather than having to go back to orbit. Like, it just takes away 5 minutes.
I agree.
For a reason.
I agree.
So, like, all that's streamlined. The fact that public events are fucking on the map, it just helps out like a fucking.
There's also more places to spawn per planet, which is nice. So, like, there are, in some planets, there's like 4 places to spawn
landing
your
zones.
Person. The landing zones, exactly. And that's like way nicer to like get to certain areas rather than just like running around the map like crazy. Also, you don't get the vehicle until like level 20.
Yeah.
Your vehicle
yet?
Yeah, so you don't get that till like level 19 or 20. So like that's also
but
a thing
also
that's bothersome.
Like way less important now that you have landing zones in
yes,
areas.
Agreed. But so now like so there's
forever.
Now I'm on to like the strikes and challenges and like extra shit.
Yeah.
Just like the bonus shit because I'm pretty much past like the story stuff. I do have like the final story mission, but I haven't done that yet because I'm just kind of farting around. But like now, having that vehicle is really necessary because you do want to, you do need to travel to specific parts of the map for each challenge, and so you need to like go all over the fucking place. And one of them was like steal a pike, which is like the little motorcycle thing in the game from an enemy, and then kill 20 enemies with that stolen motorcycle thing. And like I had to just fly around on the little on your own personal little speeder bike for like I don't know 12 minutes. To find something. So, like, if you had to do that by walking, like, it might take you an hour.
I already know the exact area where their pikes are at.
That's fine. That's what I'm just saying.
Like, there's a spot where they just roam around.
Gotcha. So, like, in one of the planets I was at, they had that. The thing is, they were on a patrol, and they would just run around the entire map. So I had to chase them down and go, like, backwards
and
forwards through this gigantic loop of, like broken asphalt, old streets that are, like, all, you know, it's, like, post-apocalyptic type shit. So, anyways, it's... I'm really glad that I have that little speeder bike because it's necessary for after.
Yeah,
main,
that makes sense.
I
add a different part of the game to it at that point.
Yeah, they're doing a really good job though, giving you what you need when you need it. It's been really, really fucking good game. Really excited.
Yeah,
I gotta
I'm
say
very
though,
happy with it.
Talking about the PC shit, the frame rate is only 30 frames a second on the game, and coming from PC for the past 2 years or whatever, I'm like really wanted. I really want it to be like. What my PC can do. So that's the problem is that I wish they had like that cross play where I could play with you guys, but I'm on the PC and you guys are on Xbox. Because like I do miss that I have something that'll give me more than double the frame rate in the other room and look better in general and I have to play it on Xbox. Because I'm doing it totally because I want to play with you guys. Like, absolutely. Right. But it is sad. I'm like, man, I wish I could, like, notice a big difference in frame rate. It's, like, very noticeable to me now coming from something that gives me 80, 90 frames a second. Now I'm at 30. Like, it's a that's huge jump. So, still looks good, though. Game looks good.
Quick idea just sprung to me. Fucking starting if Lance could kill clan on there.
Oh yeah, we gotta join our clan. Guaranteed. So anyone out there, get on Xbox.
I posted Lance could kill clan.
I posted my fucking Xbox name yesterday on Twitter. Like, if you're not, if you're out there and you're a listener and you give a shit about us, get on Twitter and fucking follow us. Like, don't be ridiculous. Like, I don't give a fuck about Facebook and Instagram and any other way of reaching you. It's literally Twitter and you listening now. That's all we have.
I'm mono Snapchat.
Snapchat these balls.
Yeah. So I guess I'll pick up my intro on Destiny. I fucking Sauce mentioned how he was downloading it, and I was like, fuck, that comes out tonight? For some reason, I thought it was like a couple days later anyways. So I this past like week or two, I've been just, since school started back up and everything, I've just been like super busy, everything, you know, preparing for the show, doing two practices a week. I just haven't had a lot of extra time to myself. So I eventually picked up Destiny Thursday.
Yesterday.
Okay. And then I wasn't able to cast. I did some homework. And then finally, after I finished my homework, it was like midnight. And I was like, oh, yeah, time to play some Destiny. And then fucking the intro for the fucking thing is like an hour long. Like, you know, a lot of games, like, you know, they give you a lot of cutscenes, and you kind of, you know, they, you know, you shoot some bad guys, whatever. God bless you.
Shut up. Idiot.
Sorry. And then, like, you know, after all that's done, then it's like, boom, Destiny 2. And I'm like, all right, cool, that's a good intro. And then there was, like, more intro after that to where it's like, I'm not really seeing other players live. I'm just kind of doing my own thing still, and I'm not, like, on the, not the tower, because the tower's not there anymore, but it's a,
that
the
intro
farm.
Was sick, though.
The farm.
Like, I want to see, like, Hot Sauce opinion on this, because so, right now, like, to me, like, I feel like you're complaining about something that doesn't need to be complained about, because one of the things that was problem with Destiny 1 was the storyline wasn't good enough. This storyline beginning was like, okay, now there's a much better view of what's happening in this world, what's going on.
Well, the tower...
And the fucking main badass dude...
Spoiler alert.
Badass.
Spoiler alert, like, you are... The tower that you had before from Destiny 1 is, like, now... You played that as the first level.
That
intro
was sick.
Level.
That was sick.
And you get to run through your the tower and fucking kill baddies doing that shit.
As everything's,
rad.
Like, blowing up and
yeah,
shit.
I thought
rad.
It was a sweet touch. Like, oh, yeah, this is, like, the end of the first game. Yeah. Like, not like, you know, how that goes, but I mean, like, basically, like, this is where you're spawning from. This is the kickoff point from that storyline. Yeah. This was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was, I thought that was fucking rad. Yeah. I do... Okay, so I made a comment on Twitter, like, the song at the farm, the score that they have when you're at the farm, I was like... That's like Zelda-esque. It was like, it's like beautiful. It's like, yeah. It's like that. This game has at times like some of the best score I've ever heard in a video game. Like they have, you know, that this game has massive amounts of money backing this shit up because it's like full orchestra, horns and strings, and like it's big time, powerful music when you're doing like. Positive, easygoing things. Like, I know, of course, it has, like, the tense music when you're in battle, but if you're not in battle, man, it has some fucking killer music, dude. Like, just... I love it. Like, just sit there and listen to it, you know? I want to get it on fucking iTunes and shit.
I want to masturbate
to it.
Oh,
it's so good, dude. And the farm I like
watching
because...
porn with that in the background. Yes.
The farm I like because things are closer to
you
each other.
Fucked?
Yes, yes. Everything's a lot closer in proximity, and you don't have to be running around as much. I did notice that right off the bat because Destiny 1, like, yeah. Oh, you want to do, ship stuff or anything?
It
like, you
like,
got to go way the fuck down.
It totally felt like Mass Effect, where everything is, like, corridors and, like, rooms. And the farm is not that. It's just obviously a farm, and it looks just like what you think it is.
Yeah.
So it looks like a medieval farm with like little like shitty pop-up tents made out of fucking, you know, broken trees and blah blah blah. So I like
midgets
the farm.
Are playing
yeah
and stuff.
Gypsies are stealing your money.
Yeah.
exactly.
So
blacksmith.
So I mean that's not really like my main bitching point. I just noticed like, wow, it took me a very long time to get to like a place where I could actually start the game, you know what I mean?
Well, you're not wrong. I just really enjoyed the intro.
I really enjoyed it,
but it was just surprising. What my main gripe with it, which was a gripe I had with Destiny 1, is that the the like looking around or like trying to turn around is very sluggish and feels like it's even slower than Halo. I want to say like, you know, I'm trying to fight these fucking little motherfuckers that are crawling on the ground all fast, and before I know it, they're behind me. So I'm like trying to turn around, and I'm like, oh god, he's killing me. Okay, finally I turned around, and now I can see him.
Well, you gotta learn how to jump and shoot, homie.
Shut the fuck up.
jump and nade.
And so, and then when it comes to the downsides, I feel like it's a classic Twitch shooter.
So you're talking like vertical feel. To horizontal is what you're talking about, right? Like horizontal or vertical shooting is like super fast. And
No.
Just I'm talking about
non-aiming
like
aiming down the sights. When you turn without aiming down the sights, you're a little slower. And then you aim down the sights, you get much more of a Twitch feel.
Yeah. So when I'm just looking around without down sights, it's super sluggish. And if there's an enemy behind me, it's like hard, or I'm just like going upstairs and it's like a spiral stairs. It's like super hard.
So because I'm a nerd and because I heard what you were talking about, right. I did a stopwatch test.
Okay.
Okay. I got a stopwatch.
Okay.
And I timed how long it would take for me to turn around.
Yeah.
From
the top of the stopwatch.
I went no scope and I would turn my body 180 degrees and time it. Okay. And then I would time it in a scope. I would be, you know, in a scope, whatever, doing 180 degrees. It is faster no scope than it is with a scope.
That's not what I'm.
Yeah.
Okay. Then what about?
So I'm not trying to turn around when I'm down scope. I'm just shooting enemies like so. I have like the scout rifle.
Yes.
Let's say or something.
Okay.
So it zoomed in a little bit, and then I'm trying to like shoot, and it's super twitchy, and I'm like missing.
Okay.
And so that's like super sensitive.
But I said that it wasn't as sensitive as no scope, though.
But I'm not trying to move 100% around.
I know that.
I'm trying to move.
No. It's a general scale. I know millimeter is fine, but it's still a scale. It doesn't matter if I did a quarter or an eighth of a turn or none of that shit. All I'm saying is that when you're zoomed, it is slower moving than when you are unscoped, and it's slow. Yeah, so it is still slower when you are zoomed in. I know what you listen. I can't change your mind.
Right.
I'm saying that the fact is on my when I'm playing is that if I'm zoomed in, it is slower moving than when I'm fighting from my hip.
So you have a problem either way. Speaking more to the quick movements of your gun, it doesn't have a general zone. It has more of a twitch feel to the sensitivity when you're actually trying to pick off an enemy as they're moving. You're trying to move your scope to them as far as compared to what it feels like when you don't have the scope down and when you're trying to turn around.
Like I was
like it's kind of like a micrometer of fucking movement and trying to like do this compared to an actual full turn.
The full turn was only for reference. It has nothing to do with the full turn.
I understand, but like I'm just saying, I get your point and your time stop thing that fucking makes sense. But as a feel for when you're actually fucking doing it,
you
I completely entirely
I understand that.
Saying.
So, but I like
but
I said
at the same time
is
like.
That if you are no-scoped and you want to turn and shoot an enemy, even though it's only fucking 10 degrees to the left or whatever, it is faster to do it no-scoped than it is to do it scoped. If you do it scoped, it is slower turning to that 10-degree enemy or whatever. So I'm just letting you know.
So I just found it a lot easier. I was getting frustrated, so I would just run up to enemies and just melee them because at least, like, I don't know, it was just, like, easier for me to do that.
Anyway. Melee in the game is good, so whatever.
Well, did you make the game? Why are you getting so upset? Settle down. I'm not saying you're bad for making the game.
What is that? That's not a fighting thing. I'm saying that I'm glad that the melee in the game is good.
You're nitpicking everything he has to say about it. Leave the man alone. He needs a safe space.
That was not a reference to what you're saying. I'm saying that I'm glad the melee in the game will kill enemies one shot. That's
not how you respond to everything I say. Let me just talk. God damn
it. Actually, I didn't hear you say melee.
What do you think I said?
I don't know.
Oh, you're an idiot then. You're an idiot.
I was like, I'm happy that melee is so good because it kills enemies. It kills the pawns of the game in one hit. That's
it's
awesome.
It's called melee, okay? It's so gross. Anyways.
Dumbass.
So I remember that with the Destiny 1, and it was just something you had to get used to. And once you, by the time you get level 20, it's not an issue anymore, you know? But it's just.
I'm saying you're wrong and you should feel bad.
I feel bad. For spending that much money.
I have a small rebuttal to that, because we talked about this. Like, I have the same feel. The way he's saying that was one thing, but the way it feels is how you play.
And that's what I'm saying. I can't change your mind, and if it feels a certain way, that's fine. I'm saying that the fact of what's faster and what's
okay,
not.
Okay, we get your point. Shut the fuck up.
But I'm going to say it again, like multiple times during this conversation.
Dude, fake news,
the point
news,
is
whatever.
When you go to Zoom mode, it feels more like a first-person Twitch shooter, but I like the fact that it doesn't have that Twitch feel when you're running around without a scope, personally.
Yeah.
Because other, if it was like I'm running around like Call of Duty speed the whole time and an RPG feel, I'm going to get annoyed with this, that. Like, yes, I'm going to go fast, but I don't know. There's something about it that would just feel off about it. I feel like I have to fucking be doing this instead of being able to scope around what I'm trying to do and like around rather than like I got to fucking twitch. I got to move. I got to keep moving.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, like Titanfall 2, for example, like the thing with Titanfall 2 is you're supposed to. It's built for nonstop movement, being able to scale the walls and do double jumps and this like that.
Yeah.
It's meant for like nonstop. With this, like you said, it has more of an RPG element, and it the slowed downness mm-hmm. of the movement is called for
yeah.
in the game.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that, which my opinion is that Titanfall 1 and 2 are the best shooters I've ever played as far as like the feel of the controller and feel of the person? I know it's like a different style because Halo would never venture to going as fast as that because it's not Halo's what the game's so all about. Slow. It's so slow, yeah.
So but it's hard it's to
on,
play
but it's
now.
On purpose, though.
I know, course. But it's still
same like... thing with like Gears of War. It's slow on purpose, but I think that Titanfall as a whole is my favorite feel of a controller. Like, I have the best control, the best precision. I feel like I have the best.
I'll say this: I don't have a rebuttal to that statement because I do fully agree that Titanfall feels so smooth and feels so good. I don't know what would be better, so I guess
it'd
I guess
be
I agree
it'd probably then. Be preference then, if anything else.
Yeah, right? I would love the Titanfall games and the shooting styles of that. So like everything about it, like nothing is glitched feeling. Everything feels smooth. As you're running on the wall, you still have this good aim, and it gives you the physics of how you're moving too. Like everything about Titanfall, I feel is a very good
I think
feel.
It's I think it's a perfect game as far as that goes.
I think everything is lined up evenly in Titanfall 2. I played 1 at your house, but I never really played it. But everything...
It feels the same, so that's fine.
So the thing I'm bitching about with Destiny 2 doesn't exist in that because everything's yeah. equal. You know, when you go to turn around, it's fast. When you fucking downside,
everything's
it's
way
fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's meant to be like that, smooth. And especially when you're like running, scaling along the wall, you can still like kind of fucking aim. And yeah, everything's good. My rebuttal to that is... Rainbow Six for the N64.
It's the slowest motion of all time?
No, that's my favorite.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay.
I'm joking because it's horrible.
No, I remember that.
Like, you gotta be fucking me, right?
You can't go diagonal in
Rainbow
that game.
Six games were not... Until Siege, Rainbow Six games, as far as I'm concerned, suck dick.
The original
one was really fun, but it did have terrible controls.
No, I loved
it. Was really
it.
Slow.
It
was
and then really I went back and I played it, like, you know, years later, and I was like, this is horrible.
No!
How did I survive? How did me, as a child,
like
think
gold,
this was acceptable?
That's like GoldenEye,
bro. Burn it with fire, throw in the trash, God, I'm done.
GoldenEye is also, like, atrocious now, no yeah. matter what. But it's okay, because GoldenEye will still live in our hearts.
Oh, my God.
So,
as the original fucking OG of shooters, like, that multiplayer shooters, which is the fucking, that was the best.
So, to quickly wrap up my intro, because we're running out of time here, I played a show last night.
Oh, fuck, I gotta pee. Forget that.
Fucking, everyone's leaving, it's okay.
I'll hear the story. Talk about something else.
So, what else am I playing? I'm not even fucking playing all that much. I talked about it on Twitter. I invested some money into Magic the Gathering Online. I thought it would be a fun little thing for me to do, to like get some extra spending money for mine and my girl's honeymoon that's coming up. So I figured I'd invest $20, so 20 tickets I put in, and I ended up trading in some cards. So in the end, it was 35 tickets that I was using to invest, and I invested it in I was going to do some standard specs, and I ended up doing like more modern specs. I did like some Metallurgic Summonings. A lot of Master of the Pearl Trident because of the Merfolk coming out. I thought they were like super fucking, they were like under a ticket, and there wasn't that many listed for sale when you go look it up on Wiki Price.
Really? Under a ticket for the Merfolk Lord?
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
okay.
And,
I think that was a safe bet. I mean, and, obviously, you're going to go forward and how it's gone for you, but like, I think that was a legit pickup looking at that going under a ticket for a Merfolk Lord. Like, why would you not?
Yeah, and
like,
I even.
It sees plenty of fucking like. Tier 2 modern play.
So the way the MTGO, because I use a Wiki Price, which you just enter in whatever card you want and tells you what bots are selling it, what bots are buying it, for what price. And the way it's all works...
Unreliably. but still does something.
At,
it still helps
at
me.
At times, it's
still
very
helps
unreliable.
Me, but yeah.
So the way it's it works is a lot of the bots are using like the same... back end stuff. I don't know. I'm not a fucking scientist.
You're certainly not a mathematician.
So the way it works is like, let's say I buy 8 off of one bot, you know, then the price on the rest of the bots that are using that same back end algorithm or whatever, they're going to raise their price because they go, hey,
supply and demand.
Yeah, somebody just bought fucking 8 of these cards. We're going to raise it like 4 cents or fucking something like that. Yeah. Or, you know, 30 cents or whatever it is. So I was able to buy a bunch of those, you know, varying prices, you know, between a ticket and ticket 50 or something. And I noticed this is the funny one that's going to be a bomb, but I don't care because I'm going to play them anyways. I bought 4 Glimpse of the Unthinkables because they were at an all-time low. And I was like, okay, that's weird. Like, even though, like, there's not such a casual demand on Magic Online, I still, you know, pretty soon there's going to be another, was it Fraying Sanity or whatever, where people got all excited about it. And they're like, oh, man.
There's some fucking fringe fun decks built with that.
Yeah, like, so, like, when shit like that comes out, you know, those cards, like Glimpse the Unthinkable or whatever, they spike, and then they go back down, you know, because no one's really playing them all that much. So I figured I could get on that. Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about it. They reprinted it in Iconic Masters, which
is kind of funny that, because I'm guessing when all time low, because you're going Iconic Masters, and Mill is part of fucking Magic, and, like, what card is more iconic for fucking Mill than Glimpse the Unthinkable?
It is. Well, I mean, Millstone or Grindstone.
But I mean, like, as far as a non-artifact, like a legit, just straight mill fucking sorcery or instant, whatever it is, like, that is the fucking mill card.
And so I'm not even upset that they reprinted it, because guess what? Now I get to buy the rest of them in paper.
Oh, I'm stoked because now I can pull them or buy them. Because I wasn't going to buy them $10. Like, I enjoy a mill, but I didn't want to spend $40 on Glimpse the Unthinkables for myself.
They are not 10 bucks a piece.
Well, but I mean, when I first looked at them at all, they were like, when I first saw them,
they were like
10.
20, 25.
Maybe that's all. Maybe I think they were wrong then. But whatever. Either way, fucking no way I'm buying that.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm glad they reprinted it. So anyways, I'm like, the percentage of cards that I bought and what they are now, I'm probably up like $5, you know. But this is a 4-month little experiment I'm trying. So, you know, I'm hoping to double, triple up or whatever, but, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's just something fun because I like finance, and I find that side of Magic very interesting. So it's something I'm going to try. But I think that spec is dead to me now. But I'm still going to play the cards, so fuck it.
Hey, what set comes out? What's the next big –
Standard?
No. What's the next set that comes out in the spring next year, like the Eternal Masters, Modern Masters slot? What is that one? They announced it. I just don't remember.
25.
It's Magic 25, right? Okay. Yeah.
Right. Okay, so back to my quick story about we played a show last night, and since nobody I know in real life really listens, I can tell my true feelings. It was put on by this group called the Dollface Club.
Yeah.
And think about, like, tier 10 Suicide Girls. Okay, got that image.
I thought a lot of the girls are good looking.
Yeah, they're good looking.
It's bitches, but they're good looking.
So, you know, I've spent some time around certain members of the Dollface Club, and, you know, some of them are cool, but they just have this, like, reputation for being, like, just clicky bitches. You know, they're always, like, wearing 10 pounds of makeup, dressed up like whores, whatever. You know, some of them are cool. And they're, like, it's a group, like, not philanthropists, but, like, they do good stuff for the community, and they're, like, and the show we were playing last night, they put it on so they could raise money to help this, like, mother-daughter cancer. They were, like,
In support of. No, I mean, like, they want mother-daughter cancer to happen.
Yeah, they're like, we need more mother-daughter cancer.
Kill them all.
So, it was for a good cause. So, anyways. So
props for that.
Yeah, props for that. But as soon as I walked into the place, it was, like, a bunch of bikers and, like, just tier 10 suicide girls. And, like, they had a kissing booth. And it was just, like, a bunch of, like...
Everyone has AIDS.
It was just, like, a bunch of, like, bros, like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, getting in there. And I was just like, oh, God, this isn't my scene at all. This is awkward.
Let me get sloppy 30s.
And there was supposed to be a dunk booth, and they couldn't get the booth, so it was just some chick sitting in a chair in a bikini, and they dump buckets of water on her. So it was...
Fucking tier 10 carnival. God damn.
Yeah, so that was supposed to be, like, part of the, like, pre-show, like, fun stuff to do or whatever. Anyways, so all that is whatever. We go on stage, and the sound guy is, like, he comes up. He's like, hey, the last band, like, the guitars were, like, super loud, and I couldn't, like, get the vocals high enough. So, like, you know, maybe just keep your rack, like, you know, down a little bit in volume. I'm like, all right, whatever. And then, so I only have a half stack, which, you know, for those who don't know music, full stack is...
8 speakers.
Yeah, or whatever, you know, 5 feet tall. Mine's 3 feet tall. You get the idea.
Kind of like your penis.
Exactly. And so I was like, all right, whatever. My bass player has a, you know, full stack. I got a half stack, so his bass might drown me out. But, like, every show I've ever played, and this is how it's done, is you mic the fucking guitar amp and you direct line the fucking bass amp. That's how it fucking works. Or sometimes they mic the fucking bass amp. But for the most part, because of the low reverberations and frequencies of the bass, you just direct line it. Whatever. Cool. So... he doesn't mic my fucking amp. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. And he mentioned something. Oh, it's kind of a small space, so they'll be able to hear it. And I'm like, okay, maybe he knows something. I don't know. This is his venue. Like, whatever. So we get through the first song, and I can't even hear my fucking amp. You know what I mean? Like, it's behind me, and I can barely fucking hear what I'm doing. So I'm like, the first 3 songs are supposed to seamlessly go into one another. And so I stop after the first song. I'm like, hey, I can't fucking hear shit. Like, turn down your bass or whatever. Or mic my fucking amp. And the sound guy is, like, in the back going, like, no, it's fine. And I'm like, all right. Like, I should have just been, like, a diva and, like, no, you need to mic my shit right now, you know? But I was like...
don't ever do that voice again.
You need to just fucking put that mic up against my amp and just make it loud. So, anyways, I was like, okay, cool, I guess. And another reason why you need to mic that is because so it can come through the monitors. The monitors are the speakers for the band, so we can hear what's going on.
Yeah.
So I can't hear my own fucking amp that's behind me, and nothing's coming through the monitors except for the vocals. And so we're just having, like, fucking timing issues, and, like, the drummer keeps complaining after every song, like, dude, I can't hear you, like, point your amp towards me, and, like, people in the audience were like, turn the bass down, like, anyways.
The bass is really fucking loud.
Yeah.
And your bass player is sloppy.
Yes, he is.
So, like, what am I going to do? Like, it's like...
it's just literally...
it's
because
it's punk music. Like, and that's fine to be sloppy, but then it shouldn't be as loud because then it's, like... it's louder than your vocals and the guitar and the drums. Like, it's loud as fuck, dude. Yeah. And like I said, if it had more, like... if it was a different kind of music genre and it was a more, like, linear, stable, fucking smoother bass, that'd be fine.
If it was rockabilly fucking stand-up
bass. But instead, yeah, it was, like, rockabilly, too. Yeah, that'd help a lot. But, I mean, like, instead, it's just, like, sporadic. And so, like, it doesn't hit the timing a lot of times with the vocals and the drums.
Yeah.
It's like, he misses keys, which is, like, or notes, which is fine, because fucking punk music's trying to get a little wild and shit.
Right.
But the thing is, that's what you it was too loud. Simple as that.
And then at the same time, like, he can't hear... I'm sure he can't... if I can't hear my fucking guitar, I'm sure he can't hear my fucking guitar. And so that just, like, throws us all, like, a half a second out of sync.
It's got to feel weird. It should be, like, strumming your guitar, like, waiting for the music, and you're just like... I'm just look like an asshole. Nothing's happening.
Like, I can, like, kind of barely, but, like, it's pretty important because it's one thing to, like, play and know what you're doing, but to reinforce it with hearing it.
Yeah, you gotta feel it.
And because sometimes you fuck up and you need to get back on track, and hearing your own shit helps that.
Yeah, you're good. You sounded good the whole time. Like, you had no errors in your guitar, I felt, but it just was, timing could be an issue.
So you could hear his guitar a little
bit. Yeah, I could hear
his
guitar, but I mean, like, it was low. It was low. But I could still hear you in every song. Like, to be honest, I could hear your guitar in every song. And I knew that you were doing a good job, so I heard no errors with you. But I can understand that the drummer was looking at you a bunch and shit like that.
Yeah. And then I even had to, like, bend my head down to the level of my fucking amp to, like, actually hear.
You're just on your knees playing now, like, da-da-da-da.
Yeah. And so, like, just with that, it just kind of threw... our whole fucking set off of being able to keep in time and know when the changes are coming and stuff like that.
Not to mention you guys were the headliner of the show.
And yeah, so this was... we were headlining the goddamn show, and it was just a fucking shit show. And, like, afterwards, I was pissed. I was legitimately upset. And, you know, partly upset at myself because I should have insisted it fucking been mic'd. But I was, like, pissed, like... dude, really? Like, the bass player knows the owner of the place we played at. That's why we got the venue. Mm. And so, like, he trusts her and all her infinite wisdom or whatever. But, you know, the sound guy, like, what the fuck was he doing? I guess, like, halfway through the show, he just, like, abandoned his post. He wasn't even back there, like, doing his thing, they said. So, anyways, I was just super, I was trying to, like.
He fucked you, huh?
Yeah. And then, like, you know, everyone's trying to talk to me after the show, and I'm trying not to just be, like, negative Nancy. But, like, on the inside, I was, like.
Don't fucking talk to me.
I was, like.
Fucking done.
I would, no, because it was, like, Sauce and my girl and a couple other people I know. So they were just, you know, we're just shooting the shit. And I was just, like, inside, I was just, like, a raging, steaming pile of fucking negativity. Just, you know, cause, you know, whenever you create something, whether it's a podcast or music or writing a book, like, there's always that, like, negative creator's voice, like, oh, you know, you're not good enough, or like, oh, you fucked up, or like, whatever. And like, I've learned to just like tune that out. Whatever. I know it's just the curse of being a creator. And so, but this, it was like, no, I know that was shit. I know that was a steaming pile of shit. And it was not like true, like our fault. Like, we
there's practiced. No silver lining here.
We brought our A game, and because of the setup and the sound system there, it just fucked us.
So, did the other band sound okay? Like, how did the rest of the show sound?
I mean, I didn't really stick around for. I was, because I said it wasn't really my scene. I wasn't inside.
I saw one of your texts like, "This fucking band is fucking horrible."
Well, that's probably why they're a poor band. That's why they're horrible. The fucking guy probably couldn't hear his own shit. So anyways, I think he had a full stack, so it was a little bit better for him. But so anyway, I was just super upset. And so, you know, my girlfriend was trying to encourage me and like, no, it was great. You know, you did a good job. I'm so proud of you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like.
It's almost more annoying, though, when they're trying to like upsell it to you. Like, they're trying to be helpful. But it's like, I'm not an emotional female who can't handle shit. Like, this is just, I know this sucked. I know the truth.
Well,
like, you're not going to talk me up right now.
Well, she could tell I was, like, visibly, it takes a lot for me to be upset. I don't get upset very easily, and I was, like, visibly upset. So, you know, I just appreciated the fact that she fucking knew, whatever, you do that, I'm cool with it. And I was like, let's go get some fucking burritos right now, because I'm fucking upset.
Let me eat my pain away.
Yeah.
And what'd you have?
So, I had a quesadilla, California burrito, and two adobo tacos.
That's my lot God, of food. Bro.
So I ended up not eating the burrito because I was full. It's still in the fridge. I'm going to eat that after you guys leave.
Jesus fucking Christ.
So the adobo tacos were huge, but they just fucking suck, dude. Everywhere I go, adobo is garbage, except for Tacos El Gordo in National City or fucking somewhere down by the border. Vista. No, and the Vista's up north. anyways.
Mexican name, whatever.
Yeah. So, if you're ever in San Diego and you want some good tacos, go to Tacos El Gordo. It's the only place that makes the autobata correctly. Okay. So, I got that all out of my system. I'm sure I have more shit to talk about. But we need to talk about some motherfucking magic. There has been some shit going on the past month or however long it's been since we fucking casted.
Yeah.
Quickly, we can talk about our commander decks. We got some pre-cons. I got dragons. Crow got
kitty cats.
And Hot Sauce got the vampires.
Uh-oh.
So, I made some quick adjustments to my deck before we played. It's pretty much just a big, stompy, base red-green deck, you know. Since it's five colors, there's a bunch of other fun stuff to do. But as far as I can see, It's very similar to how my elemental deck runs that I have on Magic Online, which is also five color, and you kind of just want to do the same things: produce a lot of mana, draw a bunch of cards whenever a creature enters the battlefield, and they have haste. Boom. What about you, Sauce? How was your deck?
So, playing against you guys, we played three games, and I lost all three times.
And
so
did
I think it was
literal nothing.
Did literal nothing.
Yeah.
I played again. After adding probably like another, changing probably another like eight cards or something like that with Mr. Crow.
Didn't you change more than that though? You had like a stack of like 15, I thought.
Yeah, but I didn't put them all in. I just took much shit. But anyways, either way, now it's a little more tuned. The main thing I did was added a lot of mana rocks, like as many as I fucking could. Like I added, I think I have like 10 of, you know, mana rock enchantment. Yeah, a lot. But I think that I've always said this, that mana rocks win games. Like if you get to eight mana, you know, by the time people are at four, I mean, even if your deck is not as well tuned as other people's, if you're playing your commander plus threats, holding open removal, you know, on turn 4 or 5, and everyone else is still playing one card a turn, then you're going to win.
Yeah.
So I played just one-on-one, so it's not a good depiction of it, but the deck seemed good.
But it felt better, your draws and
was
your
like game, was it game one you had 7 mana on turn 3? And I'm like, okay.
7 mana on turn 2 that turn I could two, use okay. on turn 3.
Yeah.
But 8 mana on turn 3.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you win this one? Like, we finished that game off. Like, you... But I'm like, yeah, this is it was over. Like I was on back foot the entire time.
Yeah, putting between 5 and 10 mana rocks in your deck is like should be the case for all commander decks.
Yeah, and it came with like 4, I think, or something like that. But I'm like, no, Chromatic Lantern. You know, as many fucking other Power Stones, other shit I can throw in here. All the fucking Signets I can throw in there, and just whatever else. I took a lot of the card draw out because a lot of the card draw was just like. Honestly, that sounds weird, but like it just performs better without.
It was
without
too
so much
situational
fucking...
card draw, or
it was just too high mana of card draw. A lot of it was like X spells, where like you get value if you put like 7 mana into it.
Right.
And I'm like, nah, I just want to like the 4 mana draw 3. I want that kind of shit.
Right.
I put in Phyrexian Arena, and then what's the one you put on a land, and then you fucking tap it, draw a card.
Underworld
Connections. Not... Like, shit, oh, like yeah. That is more important than like the you know Sphinx's Rev type cards in
right.
Commander, in my opinion. I think I want like. I think that I'll have enough cards late game. I just want to make sure that early game I'm fucking explosive and make sure my hand is full so I'm ready for anything and get it well established in the beginning rather than being on turn 10 and drawing 5 cards. I think that like I'm more worried about the first 7 turns of Commander than I am about the fucking 7 through 15. So.
And like the Vampire deck can go a little lower than it's built, right? Because a lot of the like Lords and a lot of the like... Dranas and you know whatever immobilized at war. Like there's
also,
a lot of really good 2, 3, 4
really
drops.
Powerful low mana vampires that do things for higher mana as an activated ability.
There's kicker, multi kicker,
not even that, but yes.
Yeah. So like,
so like an example of I had a lock on a last game we played, I think, right?
Where I think we played 3 or 4 games.
We played 3 or 4 games, yeah. And like so one of the games I had a lock where I had a creature that said on the beginning of your upkeep, or my upkeep, each opponent sacrificed a non-vampire creature.
Right.
All right.
Well, I'm playing Voltron.
He's playing Voltron. One creature to turn.
Pretty much.
So he couldn't play any creatures.
I'm playing like 1, 2, 3, you know, whatever. But like, yeah.
Then I had 2 other creatures. I had 1 creature that would be pay 6 mana anytime, activated ability, exile target creature, put a counter on this creature that I control.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the 3rd one I had was tap 5 untapped vampires you control, gain control of target creature forever. So I had it where.
Literal nothing I could do in it.
Literal, like, and that was just two of those vampires are 3 mana, and one of them was 5 mana.
And you're making
and that was it.
1/1 vampires.
Making
1/1s
whenever
time.
I want to, and then I played Voldaren Pariah in 1. So, yeah, anyways, like, it was
no,
like.
No, you had that in hand. You didn't need that to win.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, I had this thing where it's
it was
like,
on
listen,
the stack, and Crow conceded.
It was good against his deck because he's not playing many creatures. He's playing one
right.
really big thing, and I'm like, that's fine. I'm literally, if you equip it, I will steal it. If you don't equip it, I will exile it. And either way, you have to sacrifice on my upkeep anyway. So, like, it was a thing where I had only those 3 creatures plus the 1/1s, but it just, it was really good against 1-on-1. 1v1.
Me playing Voltron Zoids, like, it was just a lot.
1v1 was very hard to beat. But, I mean, I don't know what it's going to be like 3-player, so we'll have to see. But I did upgrade a decent amount of stuff, and I have, like I said, a lot faster mana, and I did take out a lot of the fun commander cards for more like serious ones.
Right.
So, and
it's always a bummer when you gotta do that.
Yeah.
You're like, I need to bring in this fucking card. And then you're looking, you're like, well, sorry, fucking, what's the fuck? That one. Never mind. Anyways.
Sure.
You gotta take it out, and it's like, fuck.
And so, then I'm playing
Chasm
like
Skulker.
Playing...
Sorry, Chasm Skulker, you gotta go.
So he's playing Voltron. Like in my game too, like I fucking managed to go off on him. And then for every commander deck for the last like 4, I've built. I keep like wanting to put Animus Awakening. Animus Awakening. What's the equipment?
Boundless
Realms.
What? It's like Animus something. It's equipment that plus
2 mana.
Oh yeah.
Get a
Sword
basic
of
land.
Sword of Animus. Yeah. And so I finally like didn't cut that from the list, and then you know this being equipment deck and like getting that early game, and then just continue to hit fucking land, and like getting all my fucking pieces was just like that. Just was it was good. It
yeah,
was,
he was able to was, attack for like literally like 9 turns.
Yeah, what
get
about
basic lands every turn? It was crazy.
So we had the monocolor commander decks there that came out. We weren't a big fan of those, but the planeswalker for the white one.
I need to get that. I need to buy that. Yes, yeah, I know.
So,
it's on my to buy list.
So your whole plan is getting out a kitty or two and just suiting them the fuck up, right?
And attacking for 15 with trample, vigilance, haste,
double strike, lifelink, first strike,
everything. Yeah. So yeah, I definitely did lose one of the games because of I just could not remove the artifacts. Even though I can kill the creatures, it didn't matter because he had the artifacts.
Then you couldn't kill him because when my leader comes in the field, he gets hammered and Nazim, and that fucking equipment's amazing.
Yeah, but I'm still able to sacrifice stuff, but it didn't matter. I would be able to kill stuff or wipe the board or something like that. It didn't fucking matter at all. Yeah. Like, I had one time where I'm like, hey, I can make you sacrifice your creatures, and I can wipe the board, but it really doesn't matter because anything you play has haste, double strike, lifelink, trample, all the shit. I'm like, I just conceded. I'm like, I have nothing to do right now, no matter what I kill of you. I know you have fucking six cards in hand, and like, I'm just going to die. So I had to concede one of the games. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like how they're it's very different play styles, at least each one of these decks. I was really tempted to buy the Wizards deck. I saw it at Walmart, but I was like, I better not. Destiny's coming out. I got to buy that. But, yeah, like, obviously mine is more of a big stompy kind of, like a Xenagos style deck without the horrible face beatings. Yours is more of, like, your creatures have wicked fucking activated abilities. And then obviously yours is just a fucking make a fucking super cat and then fucking attack in. So I'm happy with the decks.
Thundercats, ho!
So, moving on. What topic? Hey. Magic Online is dead. It's dead. It's dying. It's gone forever. And so is all of Magic. Except not. Because we had the MTG Arena come out. And it's not come out. But it came out. We saw it.
They streamed the information in the stream, yeah.
They showed us. And it... So, what my understanding of it was, because I was at school having to read all the text... Fuck.
You kept texting. I'm like, stop texting me. I'm watching the video.
Yeah, they're all
watching the live stream.
They're watching the stream while I'm like in school trying to, with the shitty fucking internet they have.
We're midstream watching, and you're still throwing out guesses of what's going to happen, like what's going to be. And I'm like, no, we're watching it right now. Stop guessing it. This is what it is.
Well, one of the articles, I'll get to that in a minute. But so it looks very Hearthstone-ish, as in, like, the way the cards slap down.
It is literally Hearthstone in every fucking way, as far as animations and sounds and everything go.
So, Hot Sauce is, once again, talking about the production, the back end. So, yeah, it's very, like, you know, the cards wobble, and they animate, and they slap down on the table, and there's a big cloud of dust.
So many noises. That it's really fast-paced, where you can burn through a turn in, like, 5 seconds, where you can just... Click, 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 boom, boom, blah, 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 explosions, blah, blah, blah. All this shit.
It's a roar.
Yeah, it's all kinds of like, it can be like as fast as you want it to be. And like, there is no like, yeah, there is no downtime as far as like gameplay goes, unless you want there to be, which we'll talk about.
So, what I read was that it's going to be standard and limited. So, just all new cards, no old cards coming out. And so.
That's not. I mean.
Go ahead.
It's not. That is what's currently happening.
Right.
It doesn't mean it won't eventually add older cards to it.
They won't add older cards to it, in my opinion.
So
I'm just saying, like, that's not. It's not off the table, though.
It is not off the table, in my opinion. It's completely off the table.
It was
it's
mentioned.
Also not even standard.
It was mentioned.
By the way,
nowhere.
It's not even standard right now. It's like.
It's starting at Ixalan.
Yeah, that's it. So they only have one set.
Right, right.
I get what you mean by standard, but I'm letting the people know that it's not Kaladesh, and it's not any of that shit. It's literally, like, block right now, which is the standard format for their thing, but it's not standard in the sense we know it right now.
So the whole point is they took away duels. Duels was an entry point for new players because it dealt with new cards. Mm. In Magic, standard is what draws new players in. Cool. So obviously the new flashy online program they're going to have is going to try and draw new players in. How do you draw them in? Standard. Cool. So the two formats they're going to have are going to be new cards, aka standard, when it, you know, finally matches up with standard, and then like draft and sealed and stuff like that. So in my opinion, it didn't say yes or no. They're not going to be adding older cards because this is strictly for new players. This is for easy to stream. Hey, look at these new cards. All about the new stuff. Money, money, money.
I just don't know how they can go back 10 years of Modern and add every card from Modern. And also, how would you even attain those cards?
Well,
like, how the fuck would you build a Modern deck when you can only open up a certain amount of boosters. Boosters aren't even 15 cards, probably, like they were in Magic Duels. They're probably like 7 cards or 10 or whatever. How the fuck would they be able to implement you to build a proper modern deck without it feeling like a janky draft deck every time? Because you have, how are you going to get 4 Emrakuls fucking through the breach and all that kind of crap like that? Like, I don't see how that's possible to create a modern format.
Yeah.
How about this? And that's the newest one, but they're not doing Frontier, obviously. So the newest one besides Standard is Modern. So then, like, how are they going to do that? How are you going to even unlock those cards?
So
I don't get it.
Here's my thought process on that: is they wouldn't just unlock all the cards. They would do it as a format by format basis, where you'd have like a format of just being Standard, and they could have seasons where they go back and do a block, the Innistrad block, and they have that. That's in that current season. There's a rank file for that, and then from there, those cards can't be played with, like, just in Standard ones, but there's another format on there being extended or something where you can add in whatever card pool that's available in the game, and you can slowly build the profile out, having seasons every.
So
now
I'm down with that. But that still doesn't sound like that much fun to me.
Well, I just think that that's not the goal of the
program. I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm just saying they didn't say it was off the table.
Right. So they had an article, which kind of goes to my point, about, you know, everyone's, oh, what about MTGO? So they had an article saying, hey, this is what's happening with MTGO. They said, we're not taking it off the table. Everything's going to continue on. You're still going to have Standard. Still going to have everything we have now. And MTGO is going to emphasize non-standard. They're going to emphasize. They're still going to have Standard. They're still going to have Standard drafts. They're still going to have everything it is now. It's just that the focus of getting new players and Standard is now focused on MTG Arena. So if you want to play non-standard games, you can go to MTGO. So a lot of the Modern, Legacy, Vintage, Commander, all that stuff, that's what MTGO is going to be. It's going to be your go-to for all those older formats.
So,
but it's still going to have Standard.
I don't agree with what you're saying.
Did you read the article?
I don't know. Probably not.
Okay.
I don't agree
because
with what you're saying, though.
That's what they said.
That's fine, but that...
Did you read the article? No? Then your point is fucking mute.
Okay, well, it doesn't make sense
to
me.
Shut the fuck up.
Okay. Okay, here's what I'm saying about that. I don't know what this emphasis thing is. I'm saying that, like...
That does sound like bullshit to me, too.
Like, it does sound like bullshit. So, anyways, the thing is with that is I think that MTGO is not going to change at all, like, in any way.
Yeah.
Not emphasis, not, like, anything. Like, nothing's going to change. If you want to play a pre-release and Standard, you can play it on MTGO. I think that, like, literally all the leagues, all the fucking sealed, all the shit is going to be not changed in any slight instance at all, besides a title screen saying maybe MTG Arena, come click on it or whatever. So what is the... Okay, well then, what you're saying, how is there any emphasis shifting from a platform that's going to be exactly the same to just literally adding a new thing? This is going to be an addition,
right,
which is Standard, which can't be Standard because you can't just sign up one day on MTG Arena and play the Standard deck you want that you've seen on camera. You can't just get that deck right off the bat and play it.
Right.
So that's not Standard. That's going to be just you grinding to get as many cards as you can. And if MTGO is exactly the same in every single way, how are they going to emphasize anything? It's just, all it is a new product. There is no...
Modern Cube.
What about Modern Cube? They have Modern. They have all that stuff already. They're not going to change it.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
They're going to emphasize on stuff like that.
Standard Cube. They already have all that stuff. It's not changing.
So when you have two things, I'm holding up my left hand, holding up my right hand. So now the emphasis, you're drawn to either one. It's not just the left hand. So now they're going to be trying to emphasize on...
I don't agree in any way we're talking about.
Yeah, what
you're
saying does not compute.
Do not agree at all. Because there's, like one said, you can't play Standard in that new game. You can't just have the cards. You can't buy. You can't trade. So, like, if I saw a deck on camera and I want to play Standard in a Standard tournament on MTG Arena, you can't. Because, first of all, they don't even offer Kaladesh and all that shit,
right,
which is the next year of Magic. So they don't offer any of those sets. You can't buy any of the sets. You can't trade any of the cards. So, like, if you're talking about the emphasis... There is no, and also if there's no change in MTGO, there's not going to be, they're not like, I can't imagine them being like, all right, you know, if you want to play Standard, go to MTG Arena. Like, well, how are they going to do that? They don't even have the cards available in Standard. So I don't really know what you mean. I just don't know what you mean.
At this point, they don't. You're right.
I mean, I get what you're saying as far as emphasis towards new players is go fucking play Arena. I suppose I hear what you're saying there, because that's the new, that is the new duels. Like, that was a big stepping point for a lot of players, especially, you know, video gamers, to see become like fans of Magic, is to play a fucking duels game, which is now Arena. That point I get. But as far as any kind of difference in emphasis on MTGO, I see no change there. They don't. They maybe they don't do standard draft leagues anymore. But like,
exactly.
Why would they change that?
Like, they're not. I didn't say they were going to take anything away.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm saying they're going to add on to non-standard things.
They already do all that. They already do block constructed. They do block drafts.
They have vintage constructed, vintage cube stuff. They do cube.
So
they do all that stuff already.
So there can't be more stuff.
If they add more stuff, that's not gonna make a difference.
That's emphasis. I didn't say the impact of the emphasis.
No,
was
I don't
do anything.
Still.
Yeah,
they're already doing
all that though. Like, they already have all those events for older format stuff on MTGO. Like, I don't see a change there.
I don't see a change.
Well, maybe they already started doing the emphasis. I'm just saying that since this is gonna be standard based, you're gonna be able to play standard.
But you're not, because you can't
not yet.
Buy the cards.
Not yet.
Well, they don't have trade. They're not going to have trading.
I didn't say they're going to have trading.
I think the only emphasis happening is new players emphasized to play Arena.
You're not going
to
be
the only emphasis I see. I see no additional any content to MTGO. No boosted fucking this or that. I don't think anything is going to change MTGO whatsoever.
Okay. Like I said, final statement of this thing is that if the new product somehow was like, we want people to play standard in our new product, and kind of like, listen, we're hoping you guys go to the new Arena rather than go to MTGO to play standard, because that's the newest cards and most exciting, whatever. There's no way to look at a deck that you saw from the weekend at a tournament and be able to get that deck that next day and play it and grind it as much as possible and get really good at that deck, because there's going to be no system implemented for a free product without... You can't buy individual cards. You can't... All you can do is grind and open booster packs, and you can pay in open booster packs, but you can't just pick a deck and be like, I want to play that deck on Monday.
Until 2 years from now, when Ixalan is the beginning of standard.
Well, that's the second point, is that it's not standard cards anyways. But besides that, I'm saying that, like, you still can't be able to get four of the Mythic off the bat. Even if they did have Kaladesh opened up right now, you still can't play that standard deck from the weekend on Monday.
Yeah.
That's it. So then what's the draw of standard, per se? It's more just, like you said, it's Magic Duels. It's new, exciting cards. I'm glad they took out all the old cards that were like randomly sprinkled in, all like the fucking core sets that were always in MTG Duels, were like they had all these.
I just added an extra touch of things.
That's fair, but I mean, like, if you want to keep the player,
but
like,
as far as now,
you know,
doing,
put the blinders on and be
that,
like, this is the new product, this is what's important, and you want to make more money, you don't introduce old product to a product like Magic Duels. You keep it block and standard and all that stuff, and you keep your person focused on buying new booster boxes, not falling in love with a card from 10 years ago that's only in Magic Duels for sprinkling in some fun.
Yeah.
That's not making money. Yeah. So you need to be focused on that. But as far as, like I said, the keyword we're going on here is standard, and standard is not implemented, and there's no way to get a standard deck available the next day you see it on camera. So standard, this is like a, we're just talking about maybe two different things, but I just don't think that's possible.
The other side of their goal isn't assuming that people are going to be playing Arena and newer players are going to be watching actual Pro Tour events. They're going to be watching, because the goal of MTG Arena is to make that its own streamable game. So they wanted people to feel like
they
see streamable,
emphasize that
like
a
motherfucker. Sure. And then the program looks, it is definitely streamlined to actually be able to attempt to watch Magic. That's what they're hoping to get it going. Then they made it super quick. They had things going about it. And then the little animations that makes it so you can watch on a stream.
Dude, totally agree. New players get on the stream. Like, I think
people
that is
going to be
great.
They're going to want to play those decks. I think that's what they're going for. As far as the new players who are going to be playing that are going to be looking at people who are streaming those decks.
But then how are you going to get those decks? Once again, you can't pick and choose what cards you get. There's no way to get those decks.
You grind in the game and you get open packs.
Yeah, but I know, but grinding in the game is like a big deal. Like, it's not something available. And even if you grind, it doesn't mean you're getting four of the card you love.
So I didn't watch the stream. So I read more because I was worried about all my investments in Magic Online. So I was more interested in that. So did they tell you how you're going to be able to obtain cards in
packs.
Magic Arena?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's the same.
It's microtransactions or grinding out.
So it's the same as Duels.
It's exactly the same as Duels.
Okay.
Except for, I do not believe there's going to be restrictions on only one Mythic. It's going
to
be open.
The restrictions
will not be there. So you'll be able to get four out of anything.
Okay,
more.
So my apologies. What I read in an article led me to believe that Arenas was going to be more than just a revamped Duels.
It's a superior product in every way, as far as, like, you do get to use the stack to whatever you want to do. Like, you're able to do all the stuff in MTGO as far as like looking at your graveyard, doing activated abilities and using the stack properly, putting stops on stuff and making sure that if you have a trigger on beginning of combat or an upkeep and all this shit, you're able to do everything you want as MTGO. It sounds like if MTGO tomorrow wanted to be on this new client and somehow they had every card available and all the kind of stuff, it seems like it would support it as far as like making people happy using the stack they wanted to, you know, the way they want to use
Magic
it.
Is
it seems like it's going to be perfect. Like there, you could implement it tomorrow and it'll work.
Yeah,
as long as they have the cards available and all this shit. But it does not seem like anything past being right now just Ixalan. Just going to be adding on new sets, getting to a standard format, like you said, in 2 years or something like that, but still not a standard format where you're able to do it on like MTGO, where you're able to trade and get the deck you want tomorrow. I'm emphasizing that because I think that's very important to a person looking to, you know, get past the casual thing. You literally have to go to MTGO to get past casual because you can't play the decks you want. You have to just play rough draft type constructed decks for years, it seems like. I mean, I just don't see how, without paying money or grinding for literally 100 hours, to get to a place where you're like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, I get to play exactly the deck I want that is a standard deck. Because that's not how it's built, and you're not making money off that unless you implement trading or you implement a way to purchase cards based on some kind of fictional finance ecosystem or something like that. You know, like this. Otherwise, I just don't see the point of saying that this is a replacement for anything besides Magic Duels. That's it. It's the only thing I see a replacement for.
So MTG Arena is the, you know, big-titted, blonde, 18-year-old virgin. And sure, it's exciting, and it's going to feel great. And then MTGO is like the 30-year-old who's been around, got some tricks, knows how to tickle the butthole. Everything's good. Nothing's going to surprise it. But still a little buggy at times. You know, the
new one's probably going to be buggy.
The kid comes up and knocks on the door and, hey, get out of here. I'm trying to fuck your mom. So,
I'm saying is that it's Magic Duels, but it's really good Magic Duels. Like, it's fucking impressive. I'm excited. It's impressive. But as far as like MTGO conversation, it ain't there yet. Like, it ain't even close.
I think that's a little bit of a point to me, for me to say that yes, it is Magic Duels, extremely upgraded. But I think if they're sticking with this program, they're trying to hopefully make it so streamable that eventually, as the program builds and the card base fucking continues, and they add formats and different formats and styles into it, that this has the potential to become, not that it's going to take over MTGO.
I hope it does. I think that'd be sick.
That's what I'm saying. It has the potential to become a legitimate fucking gaming fucking system.
If they can, if they can get this,
you know, a fucking thing that's going to last for years if they continue to do it correctly.
Bro, if they can do it correctly, and then 2 years from now, MTGO is gone, and this is MTGO, and they have two parts of Arena, where one is the casual free-to-play side and whatever, and the other one is like, you got to pay $10 again to sign up, and then you're available, you have available to bots and the whole thing that MTGO has, but with this new format, the animations, the fast gameplay, like all that shit, I am 100% on board. I think they did a fantastic job. I'm like, I couldn't ask for more. I think like if they can implement it, and it seems like the tools are available, they just have to literally create new card frames, animations, all this shit for, you know, 18,000 cards in Magic, which is like kind of a big deal, then we're on board. Like, I think the community is fully going to switch from MTGO to be on this new
plan. I think the only thing from there is they can't just, all the money that's been spent in it, they can't just abandon it and say you have to re-fucking start. I think they have to make it so you can, like, port all your shit over from your account.
Absolutely. They have to port everything over. Like, there's no way you can reset it.
Yeah.
That would be a failure of the highest degree.
Yeah. So they'd have to make it so you can port it over. But at that point, like, because we've all been clamoring for a new program, we've all been talking about how it's still like a 94 fucking Windows program and how it looks and how it fucking feels. So like, if this is the new age, new fucking genre of the fucking game for online, I don't see a problem with that. Like, if the stack works correctly how it's supposed to, and it says it's
going. It seemed like it's good. Like, being able to like assign blockers, they did that like in a cool animation, and it seemed like really intuitive and really smart,
smooth.
Really smooth. Like, all that shit seemed like really good. All the activated abilities, being able to move things on the stack as far as when multiple triggers have at the same time, what do you want to resolve first and last? All that shit was there. It all looked really good.
It looked the planeswalkers like the fucking looked good. MTGO program they wanted.
It said all the planeswalkers have like little sound clips that play. Yeah.
Instead of Hearthstone, when your character comes in and it says something, now when you play a Planeswalker, they come in and they say different things.
And then when you activate an ability, it says something too, like a different little little quote.
Little touch.
And that's really cool. I think all that shit should be there. And I agree that for streaming, that's going to be like amazing. Like way better than watching really boring shit on MTGO, because it's only good for people that have been playing for 2-3 years.
Yeah, if you're not having to depend on commentary entirely.
If you're the first 6 months, it's like, why am I fucking watching this? I can't understand. I don't know these cards. I don't know why this is good. How did everything go to the graveyard? Like, I understand. I had that feeling everyone here has.
Why is LSB keep talking about how he made multiple top eights? I don't get it. Has nothing to do with the game.
Why is he not shit about that 10-year-old who was in his first top eight?
Why is he dating the hottest chick in Magic? You know?
When his wife is like a ugly troll.
I'm a little bothered by that.
So I think we can all agree that since this product came out, it shows that they're wanting to increase their digital presence. We agree that you can't just take away MTG.
No.
Because that is the digital representation of the physical card game.
When
they integrate that into Arena or not, we're still going to have an actual
that's the exciting part about the Arena, is it feel like the whole digital representation of the game, it has that same feel other than now you have new animations. The game, you know, the program's built to be the same level as MTGO as far as the stack and everything that's important to the game.
So when I was watching the stream, it was like 4,000 people watching or something like that in the beginning. I don't really remember what it was after that, but it was like 3,500, 4,000 people watching the beginning. Once I got done with that and I was still on Twitch, I clicked on to Rocket League to watch, like, not even like finals or nothing, just literally like beginning, opening of the season, just like playing some matches or whatever, you know, and then commentators and all that kind of crap like that. That was like 30,000 people. So like just showing that, like, I get where they're trying to go. They're trying to get to a point where, like, when they do something on stream and they're doing Vintage League or whatever in the future or something like that, hopefully it'll be something that isn't just two guys in their bedrooms fucking on a shitty webcam and having this boring program, you know, staring at people in the face. Like, they want to make sure it's exciting and make sure that they have, instead of having, you know, 1,500 people watch an important cube match, vintage match, whatever fucking match, without it being a weekend tournament, they're trying to get, like, on the Monday through Friday, they can get 15,000 people watching MTGO, or, you know, not MTGO, but this new client or whatever, and have people excited and have it get all the good things from Hearthstone, but adding the depth that Hearthstone doesn't have. You know, Hearthstone is I take my turn, you take your turn, rather than, you know, what do they call, like, the hidden things or whatever that activate the secrets or whatever? That doesn't count, because that's activated. There's no, like, you don't actually respond to anything. It's just an automatic activation. So if they can get Hearthstone and make it the hardest game possible, which Magic is, in my opinion, the hardest fucking game to play in all of strategy games, then, yeah, that's what we're on board for. And I hope that that just flourishes and becomes important. And I want nothing more for the client to grow and for the Magic to grow. And I would love it to be the fucking mainstream thing is always destined to be.
So, I'm sorry, it wasn't an article I read. It was a tweet that Chris Kuritz...
Well, then what am I getting shamed on for not reading the tweet?
Chris Kuritz? I apologize. Shove that apology up your ass. So,
did you not read the article, dickhead?
I watched an hour-long stream.
Someone asked, can you comment on which formats will be supported? Stream says all cards and formats, but your article makes it seem only standard. So anyways, he put, MTG Arena will focus on latest releases. MTGO will do that, but put emphasis on modern, legacy, vintage, cube, and the like.
So, real quick, just to get my last jab, because I need to stop talking about this shit, but emphasis is a weird thing to me, because they're not changing anything, because standard doesn't have anything special about it besides draft and sealed. So, like, what emphasis would be changing when all emphasis only can be on older formats? Only thing you can do with special, only the special stuff you can do is with older formats and having those special Innistrad block shit that he's talking about. Like, the newer stuff, I don't know how, so emphasis doesn't mean anything to me when nothing's changing on one platform. Nothing can change with standard in the old platform, even if they wanted it to. And so now this new one is just, once again, Magic Duels, whatever.
So
emphasis is it's confusing to me why they even say that.
So I was curious about the same thing. So here's my response to that tweet. Since MTGO will start putting more emphasis on non-standard formats, is there a chance we can get new constructed formats in the future? Tiny Leaders! So anyways, hopefully we can get some Frontier. Tiny Leaders? No, I didn't.
Oh, you're an idiot then.
There's not enough characters. Fuck Twitter. So anyways, hopefully, since the focus will be standard or new cards, we can get some new ways to play with our old cards. And speaking of old cards, didn't some cards just get... spoiled?
Ooh, I want to touch on something right now.
Dude, touch
about those cards. About the unset, and we got our basic lands. So if you know about the unsets before, the unhinged and fucking whatever the fuck it was, unglued and unhinged. They had basic lands that were full art, and that was a big deal for like special full art, like you know their own kind of framing. And one of them, the first one was like a. What was the first one? Was the first one the beautiful full art ones, or was the one with the tap symbol that's all huge?
I believe the first was the full art. The second
full art
ones
that like are the part of our like logo. If you go on to you know our Twitter or something like that, you'll see it on our banner. It would be like those five arts from those unglued lands or unhinged or whatever it was. And then the next one is like it's still full art, but it's like a bigger frame and it's unique looking and it has a big tap symbol and a big, you know, mana symbol up top.
It's like an old, if you were like in a 60s seaside restaurant.
Right.
They're like these, like the fucking like port window portraits.
Yes.
That's what those cards look like.
Popular.
I like them a lot still, but like because they're unique.
The ones that are true full arts are
the unhinged lands are definitely the best.
The ones that are unhinged or whatever, they're like the full, you know, full arts. They're like $10 a card. They're expensive. They're very highly sought after. There's only one of each art. You know, one mountain, one island. And there's this new one. Now it's our third iteration of an unset, and they are going to be full art, as in no border.
Borderless.
Full art land. So go online right now.
Which, by the way, again, the original Unhinged Lands, or artist is John Avon. It's John. They brought John Avon back to do the new borderless
land. And they look amazing.
They are true full art.
They look like, if I have to say, they look like the background of a new smartphone. Where they have like the rounded, they're not square edges, they're rounded edges, and they look like they could be a background for a smartphone. Really high definition, rounded corners like the Galaxy S8 or something like that. And they have, like I said, there's no borders at all. All they have is a bottom border, which is black, that has the information about the card, set, you know, what number it is in the set, artist, and the rare symbol, the holographic symbol. But otherwise, when you go vertically on the card, there's no borders except for a opaque border on the top part that has a shade of the color and the name of the card, which is mountain, island, forest, whatever. So they look beautiful. The art looks amazing. They're going to be amazing in foil. I think the Plains is the worst looking one.
Well, Plains that, always
the
worst one.
And like always, the I think that the Island and Forest always look the best.
Yeah.
So I think that those are going to be the ones, and the Swamp and the Mountain are somewhere in the middle.
I think once again, I think the prettiest one from Unhinged, like the best looking one, is the Forest. I think that's pretty commonly accepted as the best art of the original.
And this one looks similar.
And I feel like once again, the Forest is the best looking.
I think the Forest looks the best too.
I do like that Swamp has that old school art kind of feel, like the older, darker times of Magic art that I really enjoy. Swamp has a touch of that where it has like a little bit of pink in the shadowing and in the clouds and the purples. And yeah, so it has an older feel type of thing to it, and then. Island's got this going to happen.
So let's rank it. Forest, Island, Swamp, Mountain, and Plains are probably tied, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm personally going Forest, Swamp, Island, Mountain, and Plains.
Oh, you're going over the Island for the Swamp? Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I'll probably go along with Crow. It's Forest, Swamp, Island.
Tie.
I guess Plains, but like...
They're both a tie. I think they're really both
yeah,
like, okay.
Yeah.
But they should be able to sell packs, and I'm sure a lot of people, even if they're not playing it, it's going to be like really high demand for the secondary market. So I would guess that if it's $10 a pack for the new Unhinged set or whatever it's called.
No, it won't be $10 a pack.
$10, yeah, it's $10 a pack.
No, that's what the fucking ones go for now. Like, it's not going to be, it's an unset. It's going to be selling for $3 for $10, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure it's for $9.99. I'm pretty sure I already saw it. Well, so I'll look it up right now. But anyways, I think that the basic lands.
For draft. I don't think it's going to be like that.
It's
not going to have any modern
matches. Opinions do not matter. The internet is here. So, I think that the lands right now, even basic non-foil, will be... Oh, man, it's fucking $4. God damn it.
You're an idiot. Like, it's for drafting. It's an unset. The cards aren't going to have any value besides these lands outside of playing this.
Yeah, you're right. Anyways, I'm worried about, because I was worried about the prices of the cards. I'm wondering how high the basic lands by themselves will be. I'm wondering if they're going to be, they can't be more than $4, but they got to be probably like $3 a card then if you want to pick one of these up. Because otherwise you just buy a pack. But it might even be like $4 a pack. It might be like literally buy a card or buy the pack. It's like the same. So I mean, at our local shop,
they're going to go for 3 for $10. Like, that's going to be the typical.
Yeah, and then you just buy literally.
Whatever your shop sells regular standard packs for, I feel like that's going to be the same thing for
I think so too, if that's the case. I thought it was $10, my bad. So either way, I think that these basic land cards, though, buying them by themselves is probably going to be the price of a pack or within like a dollar. So if you want to just buy a bunch, like, go ahead, but it's going to be dependent on people just buying the packs themselves and opening them up and probably not wanting to sell them. So you might be looking just buying packs on your own.
Just buy a box, and then you'll have all your basic lands you need.
Draft with your friends, put some shoe counters, have a good time.
It's going to be fun. That'll be fucking, I'm excited as hell.
Man, it's a bummer that those cards in there aren't going to be worth anything. Unlike the iconic Masters packs, which they just had the pre-release at HasCon. And good golly, Miss Molly, they didn't do the traditional, oh, hey, these are the cards that are going to be in there and let them come out a little bit at a time. No, they did it old school style to where nobody knew the cards that were going to be in there until they opened the fucking packs themselves. And so we got a sprinkling of information.
I'm quite happy that they finally didn't have a leak for at least this.
I know, right?
Like, no leaks. Not even
zero leaks.
Zero leaks. I think there was an MTG Goldfish page up that was like live updating, which wasn't very live. Because, you know, they had a lot of the cards up there, and I was like, fuck, man, I really hope Glimpse the Unthinkable gets reprinted. And then I posted on Twitter, oh, man, you know, please, please reprint it. And then one of our listeners, I forget his name.
Josh, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Grapple. He was like, yeah, it's reprinted. And I'm like, don't you fucking play with my heart, you know? And then he posted a screenshot of the card with the new symbol on it, the expansion symbol. So we got there, boys. We finally got a Glimpse of the Unthinkable. I'm going to buy them all out at $10 and make all the money.
I bet you it drops below that.
Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
So what other delicious cards...
Right off the bat, like the two like base lines I'm most excited for is Ancestral Vision, because I only own one and I'd like to have four of that, and I think the new art looks pretty cool on it. And I have my playset at Thoughtseize, but I've wanted the Lauren Thoughtseize. Like, I've almost spent the extra like $30 compared to the $10 just to get the Lauren Thoughtseize like multiple times, and I just couldn't do it. But now the fucking original Thoughtseize Lorwyn art is fucking coming back in this reprinting. I'm like, fuck yeah, super excited for that.
It's going to be awesome. Like, that's amazing that there's a lot of these kind of really awesome cards. The chase of this whole set is Mana Drain. Mm-hmm. So Mana Drain is like, I don't even know when it was printed. It's a long time ago. It's only allowed to even be played in Vintage and in Commander. It's not even allowed to be played in like literally any other format. So I don't think it's highly sought after, but right now it's like $170, $180 card. And so it'd probably be dropped down to low 100 because it's not, can't be played very often. But it is an iconic card, so they did get that something right with that. And it reads, if you do not know, because if you don't know this, like if you have not seen this card, there's no way for you to know, because how the fuck are you going to see it played?
Best counterspell of all time.
Yeah, so it's a counterspell. It's instant for blue and blue, so it's just regular counterspell. But as an addition to counterspell, to make it even better, at the beginning of your next main phase, add an additional amount of colorless mana equal to that spell's converted mana cost. So imagining even countering a Force of Will, you get to go ahead and use 5 colorless mana that appear in your mana pool at the beginning of your next main phase, wherever that may be. So middle combat, you know, then it's going to be on your second main. If it's on their turn, it's on your first main, whatever else. But it's an absurd card that I've never even thought about purchasing because it's super expensive, and it would be really cool to play in a Commander because that's fucking amazing, best counterspell ever. But, you know, I've never had any aspirations to ever get this card, but now... if I do open it, or if it does get down to like $70 or something like that, I mean, hey, fuck, it might be worth to just get it, you know? It'll be around forever. We're playing Commander for our whole fucking lives, so.
Unfortunately.
So, I mean, this would be a pretty standout card, just like something like Force of Will in the Eternal Masters set.
They ended up reprinting the dragons from Modern Masters 1. Mm. They reprinted in Modern Masters 1.
Kamigawa block.
But yeah. They're not at Mythic now, they're at Rare. which makes a big deal.
They have some sweet new fucking art.
Most people actually hate the new art, by the way.
Oh, I like the art a lot.
I'm just saying, most people who like love those cards like are absolutely appalled by the CGI art.
No, well, because they were very iconic dragons of their time, but I'm mostly looking at Kukucho, the Evening Star. I'm really digging that art with all the fucking little pink skulls flying around.
Yeah. I think that they're sweet. I'm hoping I don't open any because I don't want to have a fucking $1 rare in my packs that cost $10, whatever. But they are still iconic and cool, and yeah, they're good cards.
I mean, dude, Commander. The list of all the fucking good cards.
They're reprinting the Praetors, too.
Yeah, all five.
Those are expensive.
Reprinting Aether Vial. They're reprinting Mistress Bauble. For fuck's sakes, thank God that thing's getting a fucking
reprint.
Yeah,
it's like 30 or 40 bucks or something for an uncommon, and now they reprinted it an uncommon, luckily, and then so now hopefully that price can go back down below $10 or something like that. Avacyn, Angel of Hope, that's a pretty expensive card. It's that 8-mana angel that is indestructible and makes all your other permanents indestructible. Big commander staple if you're playing an angel deck, or just if you really want it for a top end of a fucking white commander deck, something with white in it.
I'm stoked just in general they're reprinting Flusterstorm here, because it's only ever printing was ever in a commander set. So like the card is not out there enough, and it sees all kinds of legacy play. And it's just fucking expensive shit, and it, you know, it's a solid card.
Yeah, it's like 70 bucks or something like that.
Yeah, it's because it's only printed in a very limited fucking way. Flusterstorm for single blue, instant counter target spell or counter target instant or sorcery spell unless controller pays one, and it has storm. So
it'll copy.
Thing goes on the stack a bunch of times. Like,
it'll copy itself for every time there's been a spell cast this turn. So it's already going to do two because you're countering something, and this is the second spell. So no matter what, it's already, you know, you have to pay, the opponent has to pay two to resolve their instant or sorcery spell, but hopefully it's at like four, and then you get to counter something for one fucking blue mana, which is pretty amazing. I mean, there's a shit ton of stuff in here, really. There's a bunch of cards that are like not so exciting, like Hero's Bane, which is like a Hydra, and the other Hydra, the fucking Genesis Hydra. Like these are not expensive cards and not very important, but there are cards like fucking Primetime. Primeval Titan is back. That's a good card to reprint.
Consecrated Sphinx, baby. I'm happy.
Yeah,
that's
like
set.
$22. Now it's probably going to be hopefully 12 or something like that.
There's and a bunch. Finally, Horizon Canopy.
I was just going to say they reprinted a bunch
that's
of those weirdo lands like River of Tears.
Yeah, the whole set from Future Sight of those weird. Yeah,
Horizon Canopy, Nimbus Maze, Grove of the Burn Willows.
Yep, reprinted Cryptic Command, which has been reprinted a bunch, but it's still $28 or something like that for one of them. So like, yeah, please, just like something like Swords to Plowshares or something like that. Like, please, just keep reprinting them. It's no big deal. Like Path to Exile, please give us more.
I want to pull one of those so I can clean my playset of it. I like the new art too. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think the new art's pretty beautiful for the Cryptic Command. I mean, yeah, you said Ancestral Vision. That's pretty damn important. And yeah, Archangel of Thune is not crazy expensive now, but I'm glad that it can just be a cheap card from now on, basically.
Wow, I didn't know they reprinted Archangel of Thune.
Also, Anger of the Gods, because that has gone up in price as well, and that is a very heavily played card, so that's a nice one to see.
I was bummed.
Hopefully shooting down to $2 again.
I traded that away once that went out of standard, and that was just really getting back into Magic and learning about it all. As soon as I traded away, within like a month, I wanted it in like two decks. I'm like, fuck! I don't want to spend like the fucking $6 on buying this again.
Yeah.
Genesis Wave.
Yep.
Runescar Demon. Eye of the Reliquary.
Elish Norn again.
Lotus Cobra. That's a good pickup. Assault Formation. What up? Super important for me.
I was going to point out Festering Newt's back for you. Yeah.
Bog Brew Witch, baby.
Oh, say what?
The combo. Fucking limited. What's up? I'm going to do it if I can. Hey, here's your favorite card. Frost Lynx.
I know. I was like, you have no idea actually how stoked I was that I was in there.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. To me, getting back into Magic, I know it's not a big fucking card, but like that effect, I call the Frosting effect personally. So like, it is kind of, to me, it is iconic.
Yes.
So like,
Gutter
Snipe's
iconic. Gutter Snipe has new art that looks fucking awesome. Yeah. Monastery Swift Spear.
I hope they draw an Austere Command because I don't have any of those. And like, I was reading it, going like, oh, that's actually fucking pretty good. The White Command for 4 double white, choose 2, destroy all artifacts, destroy all enchantments, or destroy all creatures with commander mana cost 3 or less, or destroy them all for 4.
Good-ass commander card. Super good commander
card. Exactly. And I don't have any of that, so I'm like, okay, well, that's
actually Magus of the Moon, Blood Moon on a 2-2 body for the same mana cost. Jaudy Offshoot. I mean, that's no one cares.
Jaudy. Jaudy.
Me.
Got the Bounce Lands.
Fog Bank.
I wish they would have put the old art on there.
What's that?
The Fog Bank art. Art?
That is the old Fogbank art.
Fartbank?
Yeah, that's the old Fogbank art.
Yeah, that's old. That's old ones.
I thought there Jesus was Phantasm. One that was like a raptor in the mist or something.
Oh,
is that a different
actually
art for
you're
it?
Correct?
Is yeah. that like the old old art? This yeah, is like the M13 yeah. art that they have
yeah.
here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Forgot cancel? Yeah, or dissolve? I'm sorry, not cancel, but dissolve. Fucking search for tomorrow.
Decree of Pain. There's a lot of good fucking commander cards in here. Like a lot to
Teferi.
Where I'm gonna be buying up a lot of this shit. Supreme Verdict.
I like that wrench mine in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Electrolyze is not as important anymore as it was, but still good. Yeah, I mean it's a lot of good shit in here, man. Aether Vial, like you said, is very important. Oblivion Stone's very important. I mean, yeah.
Aether Vial, I'm so stoked that that's in there. I've been wanting those.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
Like,
we've had the opportunity to get it and we just still have nobody's fucking gotten
it. It's
one,
still expensive.
Like. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think that they have done a good job. I mean, this set seems pretty sweet. I mean, if I get my hands on a fucking Grove of the Burn Willows or Horizon Canopy or any of those more chase cards, I mean, I see this set. I don't see this set being, to be honest, all that expensive. Like, I don't see it being way over MSRP. I feel like Modern Masters 3 is a box is below MSRP even right now, and that set is full of fucking value. And so is this one, but I don't see, you know, five $80 cards in this set. I see two or three $70 cards in this set, and then the most of the rest of them being in the $10 to $20 range. So I don't see this being open a box and no matter what make money set. You know, I think that it'll still be a around $10 a pack. You know what I mean? So that's how I feel, at least. Kind of like Eternal Masters. Eternal Masters is now, you know, $180 for a booster box when it should be $240. So, and that, once again, that has fucking Force of Will in it. And Force of Will's more played than a lot of these cards, too. And anyway, so I see that it's not going to be anything crazy, but good for us. I'd rather just have these fucking cards and not worry about booster boxes being $400.
So, we did get some other spoilers. It was a spoiler-tastic week. We got some Ixalan spoilers, mostly Vraska Relic Seeker, which I'm excited about just because I like Vraska as a character. So, 4BG, the +2 is create a 2/2 black pirate creature token with menace. All right, it's pretty decent. And by the way, she starts out at 6.
That's the biggest part, because I don't think that +1 is very good, or +2, I guess, very good. But at 6 loyalty, I'm like, oh, well, now it's pretty good, because you're at 8 loyalty when you first cast her. Like, that's good. That's good.
This is, you know, not the best protection, but it's protection nonetheless. The -3, destroy target artifact, creature, or enchantment, and then create a treasure token.
That is also good because you get to do it twice in a row. So 6 mana to remove 2 creatures, you know, or artifacts or enchantments over 2 turns. Like, that's a fair price. I'm not mad about that whatsoever.
And then the
also,
minus...
Also, by the way, it looks like this is at rare.
No, I think that's just a bad shot.
Okay.
Look at the number or the symbol below. There's
okay.
There for Mythic.
Okay, good.
So, and then the -10, which is fun. Target opponents... target player's life becomes 1.
Life total becomes 1.
Life total becomes 1.
But it is Mythic, yeah, you're right. Okay, good. Because I was going to say, it looks like it's fucking not Mythic.
So this is all very reminiscent of the last Vraska, because the plus ability protected herself, quote-unquote, on the last one as well. The -3 is very reminiscent, and then the -10. So it's all very, like, you know, you could win the game if you ultimate her. The minus is very toolboxy. You know, you can get rid of pretty much anything. And the plus is kind of protected.
I mean, if you can stabilize with a good board, this could be your win condition with the... You go up, and then you go down. And then you have creatures with menace.
Exactly.
Which allow an easier way to hit for at least 2 damage, which you only need to hit for 1. So now you have, you know, you have it all built in. You have a win condition built into 1 card. You know, making creatures to win, making removing creatures, and figuring out... have your smaller creatures actually get in for just the 2 damage and win the game right on the spot. So it does, you're right, it does seem a lot like the first one. 6 mana is a lot, but I mean, the card is powerful. I see it in play.
Yeah.
People are down about it a little bit, and I'm like, huh. I mean, it's not like, it's
well,
not
the
new,
down
it's not
about
a,
it is, I think the artwork sucks compared to the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, artwork not too excited about.
She's like this fucking like derpy face, I don't know, just something about it's not right.
I feel like, you know, Jack should be behind her, like, I'm the king of the world.
Good. You mean like Jack Sparrow?
Good, yeah.
King of the world.
Good jokes.
Yeah. Idiot. So, there's that, which is pretty fucking sweet.
Dude, the Chupacabras and Magic. It may as well be the Jersey Devil. That is very similar lore. It is very similar lore.
It is. It's the same thing.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Lurking Chupacabra. 3 and a black. Beast Horror. 2/3 body.
Oh.
Whenever a creature you control explores, target creature and opponent controls gets -2/-2 until end of turn.
That's kind of amazing.
People are just excited that, I mean, myself included, that the Chupacabra is now in Magic.
Chupacabra!
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I didn't see that thing. Not yet, I don't think.
Dude, search for Azcantra. Azcanta. Legendary enchantment. Like, Azcantra. I'm pretty excited for these fucking legendary enchantment cycles. Some of these fucking flip cards in this set are going to be fucking epic. They're pretty cool shit. For 1 and a blue, legendary enchantment. At the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top card of your library. You may put it into your graveyard. Then, if you have 7 or more cards in your graveyard, you may transform search for Azcantra. Or Azcanta, the Sunken Ruin. Legendary land. When it flips, it becomes a land. Tap to add blue to your mana pool. Or pay 2 and a blue to tap it. Look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal a non-creature, non-land card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest in the bottom of your library in any order.
It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
I like it.
I mean, I see it being playable in Standard and in Modern. I just said before, like, I don't know what's going to replace, but I see it being powerful enough. I mean, if you have a land that does that, and then the enchantment on its own, just being able to, like, kind of scry, pseudo-scry on each upkeep, whatever, like, that's fucking important, you know?
So what's your guys' opinion of the backside of this card? Because I know a lot of people have been, like, all up in arms, like, you fucking, it doesn't look like a Magic card, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, the art you're talking about. Not the ability. Oh,
okay. Correct.
I agree that it does not look like a Magic card, but more and more time will go by, and time will forgive all, and I feel like we're just going to get used to that these are Magic cards, because they've already done it with the first, like, the Expeditions and shit like that, and then, you know, getting on to the newest ones, the Masterpieces from Amonkhet and all that shit. So, like, I think people are just getting more accustomed to it, and the prices are still going up on those cards, so it's not like demand is not there, so... I think, personal opinion aside, I mean, like, I don't see it being a bad thing for Magic the Gathering.
And then, for me, from the other side, they're like, yeah, you're right, it doesn't look like a Magic card anymore, trying to change up the style. But for me, like, it kind of goes along with the lore of this set. I mean, they're searching for these things, and you finally come across this fucking land, or come across this fucking
treasure map. It's a hidden treasure, bro.
And you found this fucking treasure loot chest. Like, it should be, like, awe-inspiring. Like, oh my god, like, I fucking got there. Like, I've searched and I found and I've come across my treasure. I've gotten there. It should be a bountiful kind of looking card. Like, I'm okay with it being different. It should be special.
I wish that the Amonkhet and Hour of Devastation masterpieces were more akin to this, because this is changed in my mind. It's changing it enough to meet the to match the flavor of the set, but it's not so much that it's like completely not a Magic card. Sure, like, you know, it doesn't have a symbol in the, you know, the rarity symbol or whatever, and, you know, the border's really taken back, but at least it's more
akin
decent
art.
To it.
Like,
yeah.
It has decent art space for the art, and the text is normal for the most part, which is nice.
You can read the text.
You can read the text. The art is framed nicely.
Yeah, I like it. Like,
yeah,
I'm not, like,
I think it's good, too.
I'm not, like, head over heels, but I appreciate where they're trying to go with this style. And then what's the other... Wasn't there another legendary enchantment?
Yes, there is.
That'll be the last
thing. There's a couple more, actually, but yeah.
Gaia's Cradle 2.0.
Yeah, let's talk about that one.
Growing Rites of Itlamok.
I like it when you pronounce these cards instead of
better than you, yeah. Growing Rites of Itlamok. 2 and a green, legendary enchantment. When Growing Rites of Itlamok enters the battlefield, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may reveal a creature card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest in the bottom of your library in any order. Then, at the beginning of your end step, if you control 4 or more creatures, transform Growing Rites of Itlamok. Itlamok, Cradle of the Sun, legendary land. Tap to add green to your mana pool. Or tap to add green to your mana pool for each creature you control. Oh,
so it's Gaia's Cradle, but even better because it taps for single green if you have no creatures. I mean, it's very, very powerful. It is.
I'll most guaranteed be testing this in elves.
Every commander deck running green, yeah.
Easily. Why would you not?
Yeah, I want.
Like, I wouldn't run it in my Xenagos deck because I'll never get to 4 creatures. But yes, otherwise, if it has any kind of I can swarm the board with more than 4 creatures, and that's what I should be doing, then a big fuck yes.
Yeah, like, this is going in my tokens deck. This is going in the elementals. Maybe dragons, not 100%.
But I think that blue one also in Commander. I mean, like, to have a land that makes you look at the top four and get a non-creature spell, I mean, that's pretty fucking important. That is awesome. And just mills you along the way. And milling a commander is not even bad. Like, who doesn't have ways to get shit back from the graveyard? You know, like, Bajuka Bog's important for a reason. So I think that blue one is sick as hell, too.
I think each one is... It leans towards a certain archetype. You can still kind of use it in any one. But yeah, a more spell centered deck, you know, for the blue one, a more kind of swarm the board for the green. I know I'm playing the blue one in my fucking Frontier deck. My Jeskai Control, that just slots right in there. Throw the baby Jaces in there too.
Demir Control and Frontier. Yeah. That's going that one for sure.
So there's been some good fucking cards coming out in Ixalan. That's
the piece of the puzzle, I think. The legendary, the blue one.
Oh yeah, that's good too.
It's gonna take a piece of the puzzle on my Frontier fucking Demir deck.
Nice.
It's just a good replacement spot.
Yeah.
There's that. There's also a black one that is basically like greed. So I think it's one in a black, and it's like you pay two, one in a black, and pay two life. And you're able to draw a card, lose one.
If you want.
What's that? Yeah, draw a card.
I didn't even see this one.
Yeah.
Argul's Bloodfast for one in a black, legendary enchantment. Pay one in a black, pay two life, draw a card. Beginning of your upkeep, if you have five or less life, you may transform Argul's Bloodfast. Temple of Aklazots. Legendary land. Tap, add black to your mana pool. Tap it, sacrifice a creature, you gain life equal to the sacrificed creature's toughness.
Commander, bro, like big time commander. I think this is like
you only get to like. I mean, like they're, no, but like, it's, they're like once you flip it, like fucking, that's great.
No,
for doing the things you want to do.
I disagree. Greed is already a card that I've played in Commander, and that's four mana. This is two mana. Like that's it. Like that's all it is. Greed's already playable.
Pay two life, draw cards. That's already
it's
good
greed.
Right there.
Yeah, same thing. Like
then
I'm
you
fine.
Get a bonus if you get below five life.
Greed is one black. This is two, but I mean like, I mean Commander, you have all the life to work with. This just draws you cards. Like it's just like. Underworld Connection is only one card per turn. This is as like many as you can handle. And then same thing with like Phyrexian Arena, whatever, is only one card per turn as well. This one is like, hey, opening on turn two, I don't have what I need. I play this. Now I can explode for the first few turns, take away 10 life, take away 14 life, draw whatever fucking cards I need. Black does not have this. Black does not have two mana, draw as many cards as you can without being like Necropotence or something like that. So,
well, I mean, you still have to pay the mana.
Yeah,
you know, to draw the card. So I don't know. At least in Commander, I'd rather just play Erebos.
Well, yeah, you're gonna play Erebos also.
Yeah,
but that's four mana. So like, you know, I'm just saying, like, turn if you're on the early turns and you're looking for ways to get explosive, because I think that the first few turns of Commander are like uber important to get ramping mana and getting what you need, rather than late game everyone's playing powerful shit. I'm not worried about that. On turn 10, I think everyone has a chance, because then, you know, whatever. But if you can get them before they have a chance on that first turn through 1 through 6, 1 through 7, then that's where it's at. I think this card is very important for that.
Nice.
The 5 life thing, like,
was there
fucking 5 life, bro. Like, I'm not getting 5 life. Fuck you guys.
Was there a white one spoiled yet?
Not yet. Those are 3 so far in the cycle, okay. I believe.
Cool. Well, I think that's going to be it for this episode of If Lands Could Kill. Feels good to be back at the podcast desk with you gentlemen, and I'll try and savor the short time we have left with Sauce. And you better as well, listeners, so go ahead and get at us on Twitter, interact with poor Hot Sauce, because that's probably going to be the only place you can.
I'm going to be so sad.
He's leaving for Frisco. That's what they like to call
Frisco.
It. Frisco.
the Seattle treat.
I'm Knife City.
So Crow.
And this is Hot.
My last goodbye.
Sauce.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. In a branch of a willow tree, well, I can see you, but you can't see.